Right now on our AM station, we present Penn Basketball on 950 ESPN.
950 ESPN.
950 ESPN.
WPEN
Philadelphia.
Enter Jerome Allen, injecting the squad with energy and trying to reestablish the red and blue brand of basketball.
Rosen penetrates, punch in the hole, the finger roll falls for Zach Rosen. Here's a turnover, down court to the rack, fair on the finish for Rob Belcour.
Darren Smith driving far right, spins away from Barber for three, buries it from beyond. Does Darren Smith.
It's picked off. Eggleston to the rim. Rocks it for a game-tying jam.
University of Pennsylvania men's basketball is on the air. 2010-2011 Penn men's basketball on the Penn Sports Network from Nelligan Sports Market is presented by Chili's, home of Fajita Rita Monday, pepper and some fun. Coke Zero. Real Coke tastes zero calories. Independence Blue Cross. Now more than ever, we're here for you every step of the way. Holiday Inn. Look again at Holiday Inn Historic District for your stay in Philadelphia. Kindred Healthcare, dedicated to hope, healing, and recovery. PICO. We put our energy into you. Now courtside with the call, former Penn center, three-time Quaker letter winner, Vince Curran, and the play-by-play voice of Penn men's basketball, Brian Seltzer.
The home stretch of the 2010-2011 season is here. The Penn Quakers cite two challenging but still attainable goals. A winning overall record, a winning Ivy League mark, and also an opportunity to play spoiler against a top title contender in the Ancient Eight tonight at the Harvard Crimson in second place. With that, from the Ray Levitti Pavilion, capacity 2,195, on the campus of Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts, this is Penn men's basketball. Along with our studio coordinator, the great Betsy Deming, my name's Brian Seltzer, courtside, along with the director of athletic communications extraordinaire for the University of Pennsylvania, Mike Mahoney.
I may not be able to fill the Vin Man's shoes, but I will try to get my foot into half of his shoe. See what we can do tonight.
I think that that is a very worthy goal for you tonight.
But I have the utmost confidence.
You are a seasoned veteran at this point of the Penn Sports Network.
It seems like every time we make the trip up north to Harvard and to my alma mater, Dartmouth, somehow I end up on air waxing poetic about the times when I was in the stands yelling down at Vince Curran as a player.
Well, the budding media star that is the Vin Man Vince Curran on television assignment for the Atlantic 10 Network this weekend. So, Vin Man, you'll get a little bit warmer weather down in Richmond over the next couple of days. But we are in Cambridge, Massachusetts tonight, where there is still snow on the ground outside of the Levitti Pavilion. That is where the Penn Quakers take the court for their 26th game out of 28 in the 2010-2011 regular season. The Red and Blue with an overall record of 12-13, 6-5, fourth place in the Ivy League, led by Jerome Allen, just about done his first full season as the John R. Rockwell head coach of men's basketball at Penn. The Harvard Crimson, the second-best overall record in the Ivy League at 21-5 after losing last Saturday at Yale 72-69. The Harvard Crimson also lost control of their own destiny in the Ivy League race. Princeton is in first by a half game. Harvard 10-2 in the conference standings. And Mike, this Quakers club, not only, as we discussed just a few moments ago, the opportunity to maybe get involved in a spoiler-type role, but this is a Crimson club that came down to the Fleischer back on Saturday, February the 5th. The Quakes, the Crimson, double overtime. Harvard with 11.5 seconds left. A go-ahead two-point field goal on an Oliver McNally baseline runner to sneak out of University City with an 83-82 triumph. So the Quakes have revenge on their mind tonight.
Absolutely. A crazy, crazy game that night at the Palestra. All kinds of stuff going on. In-game, post-game. One of the craziest nights I've had there in my 6 years at the university. A great game. And a game that, as much as anything, I think showed the Quakers that they can really play with anyone in this league, and that is going to come into play over the next 5 days with this game, and then you got Dartmouth tomorrow night, and then you got Princeton on Tuesday at the Palestra, and it's important to have to come into this game with the mentality of, hey, we played with these guys once, we know we can do it, so let's go do it.
6 days ago, not a great night for either the Quakers or the Harvard Crimson. Penn having a three-game winning streak halted at home and a 74-72 setback to the Cornell Big Red. Meanwhile, the Harvard Crimson, as you just said, losing at Yale 70-69, had a chance to get the victory at the Horn. Harvard unable to do so. Mike, what type of attitude approach did you anticipate seeing from the Red and Blue tonight, getting out there on the court at Levine?
I think what you need to do if you're Penn is you can't get two up or two down, and I think what's going to happen, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Harvard, there's a measure of desperation, and they're playing at home, and it's going to be this game's been sold out for almost 2 weeks now. They know how big a deal this is, and so I would expect them to come out with a little bit of energy, a little bit of fire. How does Penn respond to that, especially if Harvard can get up, you know, 8 or 10 points early? Will Penn try to settle it down? Will they be able to settle it down? You know, they were able to do that at the Palestra. They went down big, but were able to climb their way back into it, and they had the crowd behind them that night. How does it change up here at Levede Pavilion?
As of about 21 minutes ago, the word here at Harvard was that all but three of the 2,195 seats inside of Levede's Pavilion had been spoken for. Probably expecting a capacity crowd in Cambridge, Massachusetts tonight. In his capacity as the John R. Rockwell head coach of men's basketball at Penn, Jerome Allen has steered his alma mater to a 12-13 mark overall, 6-5 in the Ivy League. I go one-on-one with two on the other side. That's that coming up next. Penn pregame from Cambridge, Massachusetts, the Melligan Sports. It's Penn men's basketball on 950 ESPN, Penn Sports Network.
Quaker fans, looking for the best meal deal in Philadelphia? Come on down to Abner's Cheesesteaks in University City. A Penn tradition, Abner's is located at 3818 Chestnut Street and is home to the best cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. The next time you're visiting historic Franklin Field, the Palestra, or anywhere else on the Penn campus, be sure to stop by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, a proud supporter of Penn Athletics.
When you first walk into the AT&T store and put your hand on that slick new phone, you feel a bit guilty. Indulgent. Are you really about to get something for yourself? But then, it is such a great price, and that gorgeous piece of technology isn't really for you, is it? When you really think about it, this phone is for your mom, who will love that you can be more connected. And it's for your boss, who will love that you'll be more organized and responsive. And it's for your kids, who will love getting text messages from you. Maybe that was a stretch. The point is, this new AT&T phone isn't just for you. Okay, so it's mostly for you. But nobody's perfect.
Treat yourself at the AT&T phone sale. AT&T. We think possible.
Come in now and get the Pantech Pursuit with touchscreen, full keyboard, and social networking capabilities for free after mail-in rebate.
Pay $49.99 and after mail-in rebate, receive a $50 AT&T promotion card. To your wireless voice plan required. Other charges and restrictions apply. Visit att.com or store for details.
I just downloaded an app for my phone. Let's see if this works. Phone, find me a burger and a Coke.
I'm busy right now.
What? I guess I'll call a human.
Like your mom.
Whoa, listen. If I'm going to have a burger, I have to have a Coke.
Talk to the hand.
No one says that anymore.
I've got a lot of drama going on.
All right, well, why don't we go together?
Four blocks for a burger and a Coke.
Thanks, phone.
Coca-Cola. Ocean happiness. 950 ESPN.
950 ESPN.
WPEN Philadelphia.
An enticing opportunity for the Penn Quakers tonight. We're getting their final Ivy League weekend of the 2011 season. Penn at 12-13, fourth place in the Ivy League with an overall conference record of 6-5. Hosted by the Harvard Crimson at 21-5. Second straight 21-win season for the Crimson. Half game out of first is Harvard at 10-2 in the Ivy League. Penn can play the part of spoiler and get one back against a Crimson club that snuck out of the Palestra a little less than a month ago on Saturday, February 5th, in an 83-82 riveting double overtime win over Penn in University City. And that one of the subjects I discussed with the John R. Rockwell head coach of men's basketball, Penn Jerome Allen, about an hour ago inside the Quakers locker room here at Levine's Pavilion, site of tonight's tilt. From the Penn Quakers and the Harvard Crimson, the 160th meeting between these two Ivy League foes.
Jerome, here the Quakers are. Final stretch of 2010-2011. Three games over the next 5 days. How has the season gone in terms of pace? Faster than you would have thought? Slower, just about the same way you would have thought it would have gone?
Well, you know, coming down the stretch when you realize you don't have too many more opportunities, you tend to think that it went by quick. But I just think, you know, each and every day we try to get the guys to value that day, value that time, value that practice, value that game, all the way down to the possession. So, for the most part, you know, it is what it is. You know, you try to hold on as much as you can, but that's just the nature of it.
Knowing that there are only a finite number of games left on the schedule, how would you expect that to influence the tone with which your team plays, particularly led by two senior tri-captains and Jack Eggleston and Connor Turley?
Yeah, well, I think all great college careers are coming to an end, some sooner than others. But in particular with our group of teams, you try to exhaust yourself and every opportunity you have, especially for them, because you know they're teammates, and you know that there is really no tomorrow for them. So that's all we've been trying to instill in our guys, to just commit to doing something for someone else, and hopefully as a group, the underclassmen will do that.
Speaking with the John R. Rockwell, head coach of men's basketball here at Penn, Jerome Allen. Pre-game between the Quakers and the Harvard Crimson in Cambridge, Massachusetts tonight. Positive from over this past weekend. Miles Cartwright gave you guys terrific offensive production. A career-high 23-point effort on Saturday in the loss versus Cornell. How reassuring has it been to see him down the stretch of the season rediscover some of the offensive stroke that helped him get going through the early part and middle portion of this year?
That's been positive because, like a freshman, it's a long season, and he tend to hit the wall. But I think he's responded very well, just from the change of pace from a physical and mental standpoint, from high school to college. So I'm pleased with his overall progress, and I just hope that he continues to work.
What are you anticipating from senior Jack Eggleston this weekend?
Hopefully he continues to play the way he's played thus far, and holding on to our principles, defending, rebounding, and being the glue to pretty much whatever we need, depending on the game. I think some games he's taken scoring, the other games he's really did a tremendous job on defensive glass, the other games he's been the help side defender. So, tonight I can't really tell you how the game is going to go, but what I can say is I think he'll be ready to help us win.
What attention have teams played him over the course of this year, particularly, it seems, through the second run of the Ivy League schedule over the last two weekends?
I think he's been one of their focal points in the counter reports against us. I guess that's a credit to him and just the success that he's had and how hard he's worked. And to his credit, he doesn't really force things. He allows, whether it be the double team or the extra attention to come upon himself, and that allows great opportunities for other guys.
Wrapping up with the John R. Rockwell head coach of men's basketball here at Penn. Tip-off between the Quakers and the Harvard Crimson about 5 minutes away. Quakers last four games winning the rebounding battle against the opposition. What do you attribute that to?
I just think five guys committed to the board. You may not come up with the defensive board, but as long as your man doesn't and gives the other four guys the opportunity to go and rebound the ball. So, our guards have been picking up long rebounds. Our bigs have been putting bodies on guys. So hopefully that can continue tonight.
First time around against the opponent that you guys have drawn tonight, pretty thrilling, exciting game with the Palestra back on Saturday, February the 5th. 83-82 double overtime defeat to the Hartford Crimson. Are the guys making a whole lot of this rematch the second time around against the Hartford Crimson? Have you tried to handle that situation with the squad?
We just try to, leave things where they are and not, the game is emotional in itself and not really try to add to that just in terms of how we lost the game. To say that, when we go out and play the way we're capable of playing, we could beat anyone in this league. And I think we dug ourselves a big hole and our last meeting against these guys, but we just found a way to battle back and give ourselves an opportunity. So, hopefully we play with a little bit more sense of urgency from the start. And it's a different result.
Head coach Norm Allen and his Quakers beginning the final Ivy League Road weekend of 2010-2011 tonight at Harvard. Jerome, best of luck.
Thanks, Joe.
More to come on the pregame after this from Elgin Sports, Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
When you were 18, you fixed your own car. Then you fixed your friend's car. Then you fixed your friend's sister's car. Then you fixed your friend's sister's uncle's car. And next thing you know, you had yourself a car repair business. And while you're definitely an expert on four-cylinder engines, you're not exactly an expert on employee health insurance. No problem.
Well, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know that I just want to look some more.
At Independence Blue Cross, we make it easy for you to find a plan that fits your growing business. You see, we have lots of choices that are flexible and affordable. So you can find a plan that keeps deductibles low. You can modify it to add wellness programs. And you can customize the plan to keep it within your budget. So whether your business is small or big, go to plansthatfit.com. Independence Blue Cross. Now more than ever, we're here for you every step of the way. Independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
ShopRite is proud to support Penn Basketball. And did you hear about the ShopRite MasterCard? You earn rewards points every time you use your ShopRite Rewards MasterCard. So every time you buy something you need, like eggs, bread, or milk, you're earning points to get something you want, like gift cards from top retailers for food, clothing, electronics, and more. You can even redeem your ShopRite MasterCard rewards for gift cards from ShopRite. That's, like getting free food. Visit ShopRite.com for details. And go Quakers.
950 ESPN.
950 ESPN.
WPEN Philadelphia.
Lavini Pavilion on the campus of Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. The site tonight where the Penn Quakers play their 26th game out of 28 in the soon-to-be-concluding 2010-2011 regular season. Penn 12-13 overall, fourth place in the Ivy League, 6-5. The Johnnies from Harvard, 21-5. Wow, a different era in Cambridge, Massachusetts under Tommy Amaker. 10-2, a half a game out of first in the Ivy League, along with our studio coordinator, Betsy Deming, my partner tonight, Penn Director of Athletics Communications, Mike Mahoney. I'm Brian Seltzer. Mike, good atmosphere, good energy in the house tonight. See if the Quakers can get one back versus Harvard.
Good student turnout tonight, looks like. And, yeah, the place for a tip-off, we're pretty close to full already in the Lavini Pavilion. So it'll definitely, I think, the place will be rocking.
Time now for the starting five for both teams tonight. First for Tommy Amaker, who has led the Crimson to a 56-27 record since the 2008-2009 season. His second, this is fourth year overall. He's 64-49. At the point, it'll be Brandon Curry, 6'195 pounds, a sophomore out of Huntersville, North Carolina, averaging 9.8 points and 3.9 rebounds per game. One of the co-captains, Oliver McNally, is the shooting guard, 6'380 pounds, a junior from San Francisco, California, 9.8 points and 3.5 rebounds per game. Christian Webster is the swing man at 6'5, 205 pounds, a sophomore out of Washington, D.C., averaging 13.6 points per game, ninth best average in the Ivy League, and also 3.5 rebounds. Kyle Casey, the small forward at 6'7", 215 pounds, a sophomore from Medway, Massachusetts, 10.5 points and 6.2 rebounds for Adams. Keith Wright, third in the Ivy League in scoring, second in rebounding per game,
is the anchor of the offense at center, 6'8", 240. He is a load, a junior co-captain out of Suffolk, Virginia. The power forward averaging 15.2 points and 8.8 rebounds per game. The Penn Quakers will start at the point guard spot. Miles Cartwright, 6'3", 170 pounds, a rookie out of Van Nuys, California. 11.5 points, 2.2 rebounds per game. Shooting guard Zach Rosen, 6'1", about 75, junior tri-captain, 14.8 points per game, 3.6 rebounds. Tyler Bernardini back in the starting lineup, a little bit sick on Saturday, 6'6", 205 pounds. A senior with 1 year of eligibility left out of Carlsbad, California, 12.7 points, 3.8 rebounds. Up front, senior tri-captain Jack Eggleston, 6'8", 215, averaging 13 points and 8.2 rebounds per game. Connor Turley, the other senior tri-captain, 6'7", 220, 5.6 points, 2.4 rebounds per game. Eggleston left, Casey right, the toss and the tip taken by the Harvard Crimson, offering the offense Brandon Curry from right to left, front court left. Harvard Crimson, tops in the Ivy League, averaging 71.9 points per game. Near left side of the lane. Right dribbling with the right hand. To his right. Hits the hook shot.
And that's something that happened a lot in the first meeting. Keith Wright really having his way on the block. It's going to be interesting to see how Penn approaches that tonight. You got Howlett starting for them. Really has struggled right there to try and keep Keith Wright off the block.
Tyler Bernardini beats Oliver McNally with the game winner at the Palestra back on February the 5th into a blocking foul beneath the bucket. The feed came from the top of the arc from Miles Cartwright.
Almost an alley-oop type of play, obviously. Probably not leading to a dunk from Tyler, but definitely something set up for him.
Bernardini, far left of the wing, drives to left high post, knocks down a 15-footer, tied at the 2. 43 seconds in.
Looks like the Quakers working to try and get Tyler started early on this one.
Webster far right on the wing, right in front of the Penn bench. Harvard home white. Harvard in black across the front. Black numbers fun back. A whistle away from the play. And the Quakers committing a crime away from the play.
The call is on Howlett trying to body up on Keith Wright, and that's going to be trouble for the Quakers if the refs are going to call that one tight tonight.
Far right baseline. Curry will inbound, another whistle against the Red Bulls. Second team foul, first against Miles Cartwright. My apologies, I said at the outset, Connor Turley getting the start tonight. Michael Howlett getting the nod for Jerome Allen for the fourth consecutive game. Tied up at 2, 56 seconds gone by at Levitti. Curry inbounding near left baseline. Harvard from right to left. McNally, double team, left low post. Top of the arc, Webster, far right on the perimeter to Curry. One-on-one with Rosen. Slashes through a hole in the lane, kick out. Webster near left corner, can't hit a 3. Rebound hauled in by Casey, fresh 35 Crimson. Casey, top of the arc, pump fake, far right side of the lane, trails behind McNally. He puts it to Curry, who connects for a 3 at the top of the arc. 5-2, Harvard, by a 3 spot, 90 seconds going by.
And Harvard athletic up front with Kyle Casey and Christian Webster with a lot of athleticism and length. Going to be trouble on the board.
Howlett near right baseline jumper. He swishes home a 14-footer. Nice range shown by Howlett.
And good to see that shot to Keith Wright right in his face and got a hand right in his face as he was releasing it.
Howlett now scored in 5 consecutive games. Casey far right baseline. Jason Eggleston, the follow away, pops out with the pull for Penn Bernardini, who had 10 boards for a double-double along with 14 points on Saturday night.
He's made a much more concerted effort to get to the boards, and you're surprised by his size.
And Zach Rosen forced it to a travel in the near right corner, right in front of the Harvard Crimson student cheering section, decked out in Nike Harvard Crimson white shirts.
Zach went a little too deep on the right side there and walked himself right into the double team and wasn't able to get out of it.
The officiating crew tonight, John Hart, is the lead referee, joined by Gary Pustino and Bill McCarthy. 5-4, Harvard, 17:49 to go in the first. Penn has lost four in a row to the Crimson. That's the longest slide versus Harvard in program history. Also from 41 through 43. Near left corner, McNally past Bernardini under the bucket. Sweeping right, stripped by Zach Rosen.
Penn doing a really good job of helping out on defense and getting in and not, and, you know, they're giving up the skip pass, but they are willing to help out underneath.
Foul against the Penn Quakers, a push-off by Jack Eggleston, his first personal, third against the Red and Blue.
A little bit of a tough call there, just he's setting the screen, but the defender doesn't see it, and it looks a lot worse than it really is.
In the far right corner, Curry feeding right past Hallett. Two more for Wright, who has four, Harvard, backed up by 3, 7-4.
And what Penn's trying to do is it looks like they're trying to body Wright on top, and what Harvard's done the last couple times down the floor is get the ball to the baseline and then get Wright, and he's really just laying up and in at that point.
Cartwright, top of the arc, near right of the wing, Hallett, triple handoff for Nardini, and a walk taken by the Quakers. Another Penn turnover. The Red and Blues third already. We've played only 3 minutes, 5 seconds, Mike.
It's like I think the refs are a little more getting it from the crowd than they seem more unnerved by the crowd than the Penn players do. They're the ones making all these calls.
Just about all seats with fannies in them here at 2,195 seat capacity or ZD's Pavilion. Basketball started playing here in 1986 for Harvard. Curry far right baseline. Kick out McNally. Far right wing. 3 for 3. Webster can't get it to go. Rebound Eggleston. Great look for Webster.
I was going to say, if you're Coach Allen, you probably are a little concerned. Harvard's really gotten good looks every time down the floor in this game. They just haven't hit them all.
Bernardini far left in the corner to Eggleston. A dangerous pass. Top of the arc picked off by McNally. 1-on-1 Cartwright. And he gets the right-handed one to go. Contact and no call. 9-4, Crimson by 5, largest lead. 15:07 to go in the first. Cartwright coming off a career-high 23-point performance Saturday versus Cornell. Rosen, far left on the wing, gets a nice screen, puts up the jumper, short. Rebound in the hands of Webster for Harvard. Curry, slicing into the lane, draws the foul. It was out on the floor, but Gary Pacino indicates that Curry was in the process of shooting, so two shots for Brandon Curry on the other side. Curry. 15:47 remaining in the first time in the fourth of four. Penn trailing Harvard by 5. 9-4 from Nelligan Sports, Penn Men's Basketball. 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
First they called you Mikey, then you got a little older and they called you Michael. After that, you were just Mike, except for a brief period in college when they called you MC Mikey.
Yeah, boy!
Well, now they call you Dad, which may explain a few of those gray hairs.
Well, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know that I just want to look some more.
At Independence Blue Cross, we know how life can change. That's why we have plans that are flexible and affordable, with choices you can customize, so you pay for what you need and not for what you don't. In fact, we have plans as low as $75 a month. To learn more, go to plansthatfit.com. There you'll find all the tools you need to choose a plan that fits you and your budget. You'll even find handy tools like our online personal health record and a treatment cost estimator. Independence Blue Cross. Now more than ever, we're here for you every step of the way. Plans underwritten by QCC Insurance Company and Keystone Health Plan, a subsidiary of Independence Blue Cross, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association.
The Division of Recreation and Intercollegiate Athletics at Penn. Thanks to following partners for their continued support of our varsity athletics program. Abner's Cheesecake, Philly, Comcast Sportsnet, Holiday and Historic District, Independence Blue Cross, Kindred Healthcare, and PICO. Cambridge, Massachusetts, where the Quakers are tonight, beginning their final Ivy League weekend of 2011, down 9-4 to Harvard, 15:47. To go on the first at the stripe, Brandon Curry, the southpaw, gets the bounce to bottom home on his first free throw. 10-4, Crimson by 6. Curry shooting at 72.5% from the free throw line this season. Second one on the way to our left and good. 11-4, Crimson by 7. Full court picked up by Harvard. Rosen trapped in the near corner. A little release to Eggleston. He nearly throws it away. Cartwright was trailing behind, but was able to recover a near errant pass. The Quakers with 4 turnovers already, but 2-for-3 shooting. Underneath Eggleston, losing Casey over the shoulder for 2. And within 5, 11-6.
I like the defensive call by Coach Amaker. You know, Penn has been unsteady. They were unsteady through that first portion. Why not try and force them? You've already caused, you know, 4 turnovers. Why not create more?
Graham Dockery in the game for Howard. Top of the arc. No good for 3. Curry Eggleston standing strong for the rebound. Cartwright across the timeline far left. Sets it up on the wing. Red and blue, left to right. Front court right. Good to see Mike at 5 minutes 40 seconds in. Jack Eggleston matching his season low point total for the previous game. Brandini, right baseline, buries a 17-footer. He has 4, 10 within 3, 11-8.
Good to see Tyler having a start like this on a night like tonight, because he's very streaky, as you know, Brian. If he hits his first couple, he tends to have good nights. If he doesn't hit his first couple, that's when he's off. But he's off to a good start here.
Contact, bodies collide the foul line. It was Webster and Rosen who ran into one another. Zach Rosen is second personal foul and the fifth against the Quakers. And 5 minutes and 27 seconds in.
Yeah, you've got 10 have committed 5 fouls. They've had 4 turnovers. It's just a lot of things not going the way that the Quakers needed to go tonight.
Still down only 3. Here is Lauren Rivard. A silent T on the end of his first name. Underneath Keith Wright from Curry for 2 on the left wall post. Wright, who banged 10 for 25 back on February the 5th, has 6 already.
Well, Brandon Curry serves the same role that Zach serves with the Quakers. He's a feeder, and he's not probably not the scorer that Zach is, but he's a feeder, and he finds the open guy.
Ball off the outstretched right palm of Keith Wright following the Bernardini miss at the top of the arc. The Quakers will keep it front court right. The fresh 35 trailing 13-8. Cartwright, near right baseline, ball above his head, tosses top of the arc to Eggleston. To his right, Rosen on the near right wing, motioning signals with his left hand, swerving through coverage, right side of the lane, straightaway shot, no good, and a foul over the back will go against the Archbishop Wood product, Fran Dougherty. 6 Quaker team foul.
And a good call, and probably not a smart foul by Dougherty. There was no way he was going to get to that ball, especially with Keith Wright with that big body between him, but to reach over like that, just kind of an uncalled for foul.
Harvard, the second best free throw shooting team in all of Division I, behind only Wisconsin, has drawn 16 fouls on 10, not even halfway through the first. Curry, top of the arc, his Crimson lead by 5, 13-8, shot clock 15 for the Johnnies. Rivard, double team on the far right baseline. Back to the bucket, kick out, foul line, right jumper, no good. Rebound deflected by Rivard to Eggleston.
If you can get Keith Wright to shoot those shots from the elbows and from the foul line, we'll take that all night.
Rosen running right past right, top yard, Eggleston saw it, 3, dribbles to the right hand, back to the bucket, near right side of the lane. Hits it back out to Cartwright underneath the crimson-colored timeline in the center of the floor. Cartwright seeking the screen, far left, double team. Eggleston near right for 3, good, and 10, pulls within 2, 13-11.
Good to see that from Eggleston. He's been struggling from behind the arc for the last couple of games. Good to see him get off to a start like that.
First three-pointer since Saturday, February 12th at Columbia for Eggleston. And Harvard missed the occasion. They just throw it away. Curry topped the arc, was seeking right along the baseline, and he just swung it towards the Harvard Crimson dance team.
He pulled 9 guys on the floor. Unfortunately, 4 of them were his.
On the court for the Quakers, Eggleston, Cartwright, Rosen, Dougherty, and Bernardini. Some subs for Harvard. Matt Brown, a football player, checking in, along with Jeff Giordano. Top of the arc, Eggleston can tie or take their first lead with a field goal. Cartwright, far left, thinking 3 along, 2 on the way, off the back of the iron. Offensive rebound, Dougherty, stripped by Brown, but he lost the ball over the near right baseline. Quakers will hang on. Brown, a two-sport athlete here at Harvard. It's the first three games of the season while playing for the Crimson football program. Shot clock at 34. Offensive foul committed by the Quakers, and Jack Eggleston was the one who committed it, and then he hit the deck and is rubbing his left thumb on his way back down the floor. 17 foul committed by Penn.
Tough break for Jack Eggleston. You come out of the play with the worst, you're worse for the wear, and you get called for the foul.
That is the second personal foul on Eggleston. Howard sitting on the bench with two. Rosen with a pair as well. Curry, foul line, near left wing. Brown buries the three on nylon. So that rounds us his 4-3 of the season, 16-11 Harvard.
Well, Penn's gone to a 2-3 zone the last couple of possessions down, and the problem is that Curry is getting into the lane, and that's creating a lot of problems for the Quakers defensively.
Cartwright stripped by Curry, and the Crimson come back the other way. 11:35 to go in the first at Levine. East Harvard leading by five, matching their biggest edge of the evening. Foul line, Georgiades near left, Rivard gets the bounce after two hops off the rim to fall through for three.
You know, Curry didn't really do a lot in the first game between these two teams. He wasn't a guy that really was a focal point. But, you know, you might remember last year, so the game up here and the game at 10, he really played a major role. I mean, he's a guy that can play a major role in a game like this, and he's done that so far tonight. That's a travel.
Bernard Eddie hops the foul line. No call. Doherty to his left. Back the bucket. Torres to his right. Can't hit the hook shot. Georgiades gobbles up the rebound. 8-point lead for the Crimson. Curry pushing. Into the key. Kick out Rivard. Near left. Kicks it again. Pumps his right fist as he hops across the timeline back the other way. John R. Rockwell, head coach of men's basketball, Penn. Jerome Allen takes a timeout. Harvard doubling up the Quakers, 22-11, 10:45 to go on the first.
And again, that play is made because Curry's able to get in the lane. Rivard just moves to a spot and knocks it down, and he's probably like most shooters out there. He made his first. The first one was, it bounced around. It didn't look like it might go in. Then it went in. That second one was pure right there.
The Harvard Crimson, Mike, they boast such great balance, not just on the outside in terms of their guard play, but the presences of, is that even a word? Probably not.
Sure. It is tonight.
Thank you. Michael Casey and Keith Wright, their presence is on the block.
Yep.
Their force is down there. And also you can even look at it from a broader sense in terms of balance. That Harvard, they get it done offensively. Most points per game in the league. Second in points against.
Absolutely.
Yielding only 64.2.
Yeah, well, again, you know, we've talked about the athleticism that they have, and they've been rolling the bodies out, and they can give a couple guys a blow here and there, and they're doing a good job defensively on the Quakers and not giving anything easy.
Penn with the ball, left right, front court right, near right, Cartwright, top of the arc, Cam Gunter subbing in, dribble handoff, Rosen, red in the face, pointing to Bernardini, under the arc, far left. Shot clock at 10 for the Quakers, trailing by 11. Rosen, driving foul line, underneath Gunter, lost the ball, Georgiades dives to the deck to come up with the steal. McNally has Brown on the near left corner, back to McNally. Near left wing. Returns the ball to Brown in the corner. Drives baseline. Far right. Rivard looking shooterish. Draws contact on Bernardini. 18 foul committed by the Quakers with 9:59 to go in the first half.
Rivard did a great job of drawing that foul. 8-1 in the fouls. Unbelievable.
That'll be the first on Tyler Bernardini. 9:59 to go in the first. Time out of the floor to score. Harvard doubling up Penn's total. Leading the Quakers 22-11. The Nelligan Sports, Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
United Healthcare takes its commitment to their members in Pennsylvania seriously. That's why they take an active role in the communities they serve and promote good health every step of the way. Preventive care is covered 100% in most plans. They offer wellness programs to help their members make healthy choices, and they send out reminders for immunizations and annual physicals. After all, their mission is to help people live healthier lives. United Healthcare, a proud sponsor of Penn Athletics. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliates. Health plan coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Company.
Hey,
on the old fridge that used to live in your kitchen. You upgraded and I got relegated to the basement. Totally insulting, by the way. My revenge? I'm wasting about $150 a year. So there.
Get rid of your old refrigerator. With Pico Smart Appliance Recycling, we'll pick it up and give you $35. Pico, we put our energy into lots of programs that save you money. For eligibility and savings details, visit pico.com/smartideas or call 888-5-PICO-SAVE.
Be sure to stop by Abner's Cheesesteaks, University City Oil Limited, 3818 Chestnut Street, right on that good old corner. It is the northwest corner of 38th and Chestnut. Abner's Cheesesteaks, some of the best cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. LeVar at the foul line records his first free throw, giving Harvard a 23-11 lead with 9:59 to go in the first half. LeVar, 15th in the nation in free throw shooting. Knocks his second, 24-11, all crimson, Mike Mahoney.
Well, we talked about at the start of this, figured that Harvard would come out strong with the crowd and everything and knowing what the stakes are. Now can Penn get it work its way back into this game?
Bernardini, top of the arc, tacks on a long two. His foot was on the border. 24-13, that ends the Crimson's run at 11 straight points.
It looked like his left foot was in between the two arcs with the men's and the women's arcs on this floor.
LeVar, far right wing. Georgiadis back to the bucket, dribbling to his left, and Zach Gordon pops the ball free. It bounces to LeVar.
It's the minutes like this where Penn really needs to make their impact. When you don't have Wright and Casey both on the floor at the same time, that is really critical. These are critical minutes.
LeVar can't hit about a 26-footer with the carom Doherty for the Quakers. Cartwright operating Penn's offense with Gordon, Doherty, Gunter, and Bernardini. A very useful lineup on the court for the Quakers. Tyler, a crossover near right wing, short. Gunter tried to save it, but he deflected the ball off the back of the glass. Now, the Crimson student section had an air ball, however. That ball looked iron.
Oh,
looked iron.
We have a tough angle on it, that's for sure. It was directly between us, but regardless, I don't think Tyler even hears them out there, knowing him. He's a little, you know, he gets lost in his own head sometimes, so he's not worried about what the Harvard student section is saying.
24-13 Harvard, 8:40 to go in the first half. A lob and a one-fisted right-handed alley-oop slam completed by Casey from McNally. 26-13 Crimson.
Now see, that alley-oop is a little more what you expect from a traditional alley-oop. Not, Penn probably wasn't going to do that.
A reaching foul on Webster top of the arc, trying to snap the pass away from the Quakers at the second team foul against the Crimson here in the first half. Bernardini going out, Rosen back in. Connor Tully will relieve Cam Gunter, the Red Bull rookie. And maybe Mike Connor can get a little physicality on the floor for the Quakers.
I would think that he is out there more for his fouls than for his offensive abilities. Although,
Rosen turns it over, intended for Tully underneath. High low pass picked off. Harvard, another steal, their fourth. They've converted a dozen points off of 10 turnovers, looking for more. Curry beneath the Harvard Crimson H center court. Back behind, top of the arc, Webster. Far right of the wing, Curry right in front of head coach Jerome Allen. Curry, far right side of the lane, runner. He shot, or maybe it was a pass.
I think Cartwright got a piece of it from behind and was able to knock it out of bounds.
7:53 to go in the opening half at Lavini Pavilion on the campus of Harvard in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Time out on the floor to score. Harvard times two over Penn, 26-13. From Elgin Sports, Penn Men's Basketball. 9:50 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
There's one place for great basketball. That's with the Quakers. And there's one place for the best quality deli products. Your place, ShopRite. The star of the pregame show is always Black Bear premium quality deli products, available exclusively at ShopRite. You'll never find any MSG in Black Bear deli products. Lunch bags, game day, or anytime, choose premium quality Black Bear deli. Visit ShopRite's Appy department and let us create fabulous Black Bear deli platters for your next gathering. One place, your place, ShopRite. And go Quakers. Sprint Turf wishes good luck to the Quaker basketball team and is a proud partner of Penn Athletics. Sprint Turf has been the University of Pennsylvania's choice in synthetic turf since 2004 when the surface was installed on the beautiful and historic Franklin Field. If your school is considering a turf field or perhaps you have a landscaping project at home, make Sprint Turf your first call at 877-686-TURF. Visit us online at SprintTurf.com.
United Healthcare takes its commitment to its members in Pennsylvania seriously. That's why United Healthcare takes an active role in the communities that it serves. Voting good health every step of the way. United Healthcare, a proud partner of Penn Athletics. Quakers trailing Harvard 26-13 at Lavides and Cambridge. Harvard with the ball. Right, left, front court, left. McGalley makes his way along the near left baseline. Good movement, top of the arc. Shot clock at four. Webster cans a 17-footer above the foul line.
You know, you watch this Harvard team, and the guards are very good about reading the situation. McNally there could have pulled up for a three-pointer instead, read the situation, was able to get in the lane, and really got Penn on its heels defensively, and that's what Harvard's been doing all game.
Harvard in control by 15, 28-13. Largest lead of the night. They've led every second of the way. Shot clock 13 for 10. Cartwright, the Harvard H center court. Looking for a screen. Spins away from McNally. Cartwright trying to create. Looking to see Gordon. The Quakers bailed out with five on the shot clock. Kick ball against Harvard.
And like we just talked about how Harvard's doing a great job breaking down Penn defensively down at this end. At the other end, Penn really struggling to get into its offense. A lot of things are coming from broken plays or from a guy creating his own shot like Bernardini.
Casey nearly intercepts the inbound pass along the far right wing. So because of the kickball, shot clock resets at 15. It'll stay that way as no time expires. Gordon inbounding right in front of Ugo Okam, a 7-footer, a reserve for Harvard. Rosen gets the inbound pass, puts the foul line. Doherty goes Gordon far left, doesn't get the bounce on the three. Rebound through the hands of Gordon to Gordon. Pardon me, from Rosen to Gordon. Foul drawn by Gordon in the lane.
Nice job on the boards there by the Quakers. Connor Turley getting a hand in there, poking it away and getting it to Rosen, who got it to Gordon. You know, Zach Gordon is a guy that in this game, he is an athlete, and he can stay with a lot of these Harvard guys. Some of the other guys on the Penn roster really can't do that.
Gordon at the free throw line. Gets a funky rattle to drop in.
Shooter's touch.
That's right.
That's what we're calling it, at least.
First free throw on the season for Zach Gordon. He's now 1-for-3. Quakers down by 14, 28-14. 6:59 to go in the opening half. Gordon, a right-handed shooting senior, strokes his second, 28-15. But Gordon eligible for another year next year. And it looks like he will probably take it. Curry, near left on the wing, near left corner McNally, turns on the Jets baseline, far right wing Webster. Going to get past Gordon, kick out top down Curry, in the near left corner, McNally makes good on a three. McNally with five, Harvard by 16, 31-50.
And again, just the extra pass, the extra drive, they're doing whatever they want to do offensively, Harvard is.
11 for 18, 5 of 9 for 3. Rosen, near right corner, high arcing shot, can't hit. Rosen remains scoreless, right with the rebound for Johnny. McNally makes his way back across the timeline. Webster, far right, puck fakes Gordon on him like glue on the baseline. Underneath the right, losing Curley for two. Right with 8 points. And a timeout taken by Jerome Allen and Penn. 6 minutes to go in the first.
It seems like there is a lot of ball watching by Penn defensively. And because of that, guys are getting wide open. I mean, that play right there, Christian Webster essentially had 5-10 guys watching him while he dribbled into the corner, and that left Keith Wright to move into a position to get an easy bucket, and Christian Webster found him. This Harvard team is finding the open man, and they could create opportunities for their teammates, and they're all unselfish. They've all been unselfish tonight. You know, again, they know what's at stake here, they know what they need to do, and they know what they need to have happen. And it's clear that they're not looking past this game for tomorrow night, even though tomorrow night is really the one that has all the stakes. But if you're Harvard, this game has just as much stakes. If you lose this game, you're in trouble.
If you were to run an eBay search right now, Mahomes, on Harvard Princeton, you'd probably pull up a ticket for tomorrow night's game that runs you anywhere from $275 to $300. That is ludicrous.
Not typical in the Ivy League, that's for sure.
Rosen far left on the wing, driving baseline, leaner, throws it to Gordon, near right on the perimeter, as Turley backs the bucket near right side lane. Working on Casey, swings his fanny into him, and an offensive foul. A little bit too much English from Connor Turley. That'll be the ninth 10-team foul in the first half. And the first on Connor Turley. Tyler coming back.
We haven't seen Eggleston for the last couple minutes. He's got his left hand taped. Remember, he went down hard at the offensive end, came out of the game. So I don't know how serious that is. I mean, he's sitting next to the coaches. It's clear he probably wants to get back in there.
Rod Belcourt is dressed, practiced the last 2 days with an ankle injury, didn't play all last weekend. Foul line, Casey, far right corner, Webster, pulls up and hits from the perimeter. Webster making a long two for Webster. 35-15, the Crimson are running it up on 10. Top of the arc, Bernardini, near right corner, Cartwright, covered by McNally. Cartwright draws contact as he hoists it for a long two. That'll go against McNally.
You know, but even that shot, I mean, Penn may get 2 points out of this, but that's not a shot that you're looking for out of the offense. I mean, literally a pass, Cartwright in the corner, and he's got a man on him. He hasn't beaten him, but he's content to throw up a 16-17 footer from the corner. I mean, you know, the Quakers are really struggling to find open looks against this Harvard defense. Harvard's playing inspired, there's no doubt.
Cartwright is first on his first free throw, the seventh best free throw shooter in the air today. McNally to the bench for the Crimson as Lauren Rivard checks back in. Cartwright, a right-handed shooting rookie, drains his second all nylon, 35-17 Harvard. Cartwright in double figures for the 14th time on Saturday versus the Cornell Big Red, 23. Casey near left on the perimeter, blanketed by Bernardini. Casey challenging him, and the ball is robbed away by Rosen. Rosen back the other direction, left to right, front court right, has Gordon free in the far left corner. Thought about three, deferring to Bernardini. Back to Rosen, top of the arc. Shot clock at 20 for the Quakers. 4:24 to go in the first. 35-17, Crimson cruising. Top of the arc, Gordon, thought three, driving near right side line, blocked by Keith Wright. Wright reaching 800 points on his first field goal of the evening for the Crimson.
I like Gordon going for the bucket, though. I mean, that's what Penn needs more of.
42nd block this season for Wright. Shot clock at 5-10, Rosen near right on the perimeter with little room. Top of that key, connects for two.
All right, that's good. You need Zach Rosen to start hitting a couple of those shots. He has been struggling so far offensively in this game. This is the kind of night where he may not be able to rely on others. He's got to take it himself.
Rivard, far right, flushes his third three-pointer of the game. 38-19.
Again, shooters shoot. If they're missing, they're missing. And if they're making, they're making. And Rivard's first shot kind of set the tone for the night so far from his perspective.
Tied for third in the league, averaging 3 3-pointers per game. Gordon near right corner. Overhead pass pulled down by Cartwright, far left corner. He fires and hits a three of his own. Miles Cartwright with five is 32nd free. 10 within 16, 38, 22, 3, 21 to go in the first. Top of the arc, a lob alley-oop try from Curry to Casey, broken up by the Quakers. Back the other way. Rosen stops far left side lane, underhands to Cartwright, drives towards the 10, throws the ball away looking for Gordon, the far left baseline.
Tough possession for the Quakers there. That was a good chance to get a couple more back and make this a more manageable game. Just couldn't quite get it done.
3:09 to go in the first. All Crimson. Timeout on the floor. The score, Harvard in front by 16. 38-22. From Elegant Sports. 10-man basketball on 950 ESPN. The 10 Sports Network.
When you first walk into the AT&T store and put your hand on that slick new phone, you feel a bit guilty. Indulgent. Are you really about to get something for yourself? But then, it is such a great price, and that gorgeous piece of technology isn't really for you, is it? When you really think about it, this phone is for your mom, who will love that you can be more connected. And it's for your boss, who will love that you'll be more organized and responsive. And it's for your kids, who will love getting text messages from you. Maybe that was a stretch. The point is, this new AT&T phone isn't just for you. Okay, so it's mostly for you. But nobody's perfect.
Treat yourself at the AT&T phone sale. AT&T. We think possible.
Come in now and get the Pantech Pursuit with touchscreen, full keyboard, and social networking capabilities for free after mail-in rebate.
Pay $49.99 and after mail-in rebate, receive a $50 AT&T promotion card. With your wireless voice plan required, other charges and restrictions apply. Visit ATT.com or store for details.
Come to Fantasy Athletics on Facebook and Twitter and get the latest news on the Quakers and also interact with your fellow Penn fans. Visit PennAthletics.com for all the needs. Click on the Facebook and or Twitter logos and become either a friend or an independently minded follower of ours right now. And you'll find that your very own color analyst tonight, Penn Director of Athletic Communications, Mike Mahoney.
Can't spot it right now there, Chelsea. I'm busy tweeting. I'm tweeting and talking. It's unbelievable. Multitasking is, I believe, what they call the term.
That's what they pay you for. Brown, near left on the wing. Far right, they have Curry. Harvard, right left in the front court. Harvard leading 38-22, 2:50 to go in the first. Shot clock 15 for the Crimson. Near left corner, Curry stood up by Bernardini. Right, near left side lane, back to the bucket. Turns to his right, kick out Brown. Far right corner, short for three. Offensive rebound, Revoir, press 35.
Now you force 10 to play 30, probably 25 to 30 more seconds of defense, and that's what you want to do if you're Harvard.
Harvard within two rebounds of 10. Revoir lights it up for three again from the far right corner. He's got four from the outside.
Well, he's able to set up and stroke it. I mean, Penn is too busy trying to stop the drive, and they got too much time, too much space in the middle. I mean, Revoir, if he can set up, he's going to hit him.
Rosen, the step back, can't stick it near right wing. Rebound, Curry. Harvard flying back the other way. Webster blocked by Bernardini as he tried to reverse it from left to right. Tyler with his fourth swat of the season.
Harvard doing a good job of recognizing when to push, when to hold up. That was an opportunity. You had Rosen deep into the offensive end for Penn trying to get that shot off, and the rebound in such a way that Curry could set him off.
Curry far right baseline, swings near left on the wing, Webster, guarded by Gordon. Top the arc of bar, goes far right Curry. Back down low, right back in the bucket. Hallett has two personal fouls, playing him right over the top and off the glass. For two, he has 10.
You can see the frustration on Mike Hallett's face. He's just going to really struggle to keep right off of that block tonight.
Mike missed his first 8 games of the season, Mullins, and he has not confronted a competitor quite like Wright. Cartwright elevates and drains it from deep. Near right wing, 43-25. Penn within 18 with a minute 22 to go in the first.
Well, we were here in the first game. Didn't Harvard have an 18-point lead in that game? It was certainly somewhere of that neighborhood. 15, 18 points, something like that.
Gordon got his hand on a pass at the foul line. Wright comes up with a ground near left corner. Connects. A deep jumper. They award him a long two-pointer, 45-25.
This guy Brown, he's got a nice stroke. I mean, he's putting it down. You know, a football guy, he's pretty compactly built, but he's put up two nice strokes tonight. They've both gone home.
47 seconds to go in the first, 20 to shoot for Penn, trailing by 20. Pass deflected by Curry, comes up with the steal from left to right. Curry backs it up, far right on the wing. Shot clock differential at 8. Half a minute to go in the first half. All Crimson 45-25. Curry dribbling with the right hand by the scorer's table. Fell right on the wing beneath the timeline. Shot clock now at 10 for the Crimson. Rosen, space between he and Curry. Good pickup by Hallett, top of the arc. Rosen back on Curry near left. A foul called on the Quakers. You're right, Mullen. It looked like steps. 4 seconds from the shot clock. Zach Rosen will be whistled for his third personal foul. And that's the 10th against the Quakers in the first. Tucson. Curry, 2-for-2 from the free throw line this evening. And the southpaw sends it in a 10
on a swish. Harvard Crimson, what an impressive first half, Mike. And while Harvard's still good offensively, I mean, they would be hard-pressed to watch me say this. But they're converting 65.4% of their field goals.
Yep. They're hitting, 58% beyond the arc. They're getting open looks and they're knocking them down. I mean, that's what it boils down to. Penn having a much harder time finding offense. They've only gotten 19 field goal attempts. That's 7 fewer than Harvard. And they've only made 9 of them. That's almost half of what Harvard's put in tonight.
46-25 Crimson, 12 seconds to go in the opening half. Curry, 3 dribbles. He twirls the ball between his palms and punches in his second. 47-25. Double deuce total lead for Harvard. 10 seconds to go in the first. 10 left to right, front court right. Top yard Cartwright has the hole on Brown. Single roll, doesn't fall. Contact, no call. A travel committed by right of the Crimson underneath the bucket with a second left in the first half.
You know, I didn't even realize that. These scoreboards in here don't do tenths of a second.
No.
It's something you don't see very often at this level.
Two scoreboards, one behind either baseline on the right side from our vantage point. Jack Eggleston, who has now his left wrist and thumb wrapped in beautifully applied Philip Samco tape back down on the court. 1 second to go in the first. Cartwright inbounding, far left baseline. Nothing going on. Has Bernardini in the corner. It would have counted if it went, but it didn't, short off the front of the rim. A dominant first half performance, Mike Mahoney, by the Harvard Crimson, 47-25, a 22-point lead over the Quakers as the Red Moon walks up the stairwell towards their locker room at Lavidia Pavilion in Cambridge.
Points in the paint, Harvard 14, Penn 2. Points off turnovers, Harvard 21, Penn 2. I mean, that says it all right there. You combine that with 65% shooting, like you said, from the field, 58 from beyond the arc. They're perfect at the foul line. I mean, if you are a Harvard Crimson basketball fan, you can't ask for much more than what you got in that half.
Harvard,
that's about as good as they can play.
You mentioned the turnovers, Mike. And Harvard, a lot of credit goes to the Crimson for their defensive effort. And they forced only 3 turnovers in their loss at Yale on Saturday.
Yep.
Tonight, the Quakers committing 11 call-ups in the first half.
Yeah, it's been... Penn has struggled to find its offense all along. And Penn has put down 9 shots. They have 3 assists on them. A lot of the shots have been creating off the dribble. That's how Bernardini's points have come. Miles Cartwright, a couple of his baskets have been off the dribble. Just not able to find any room among the athleticism and the length of this Harvard Crimson.
At the break, 47-25, the Harvard Crimson on top of the Penn Quakers. Our senior class interview profile series starts on the other side, beginning with Dan Mugden and Andreas Schreiber. That's coming up next. Halftime show from Lavini's on the way. From Elegant Sports, Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
ShopRite is proud to support Penn Basketball. And did you hear about the ShopRite MasterCard? You earn rewards points every time you use your ShopRite Rewards MasterCard. So every time you buy something you need, like eggs, bread, or milk, you're earning points to get something you want, like gift cards from top retailers for food, clothing, electronics, and more. You can even redeem your ShopRite MasterCard rewards for gift cards from ShopRite. That's, well, like getting free food. Visit ShopRite.com for details. And go Quakers! If you come from today's rapidly changing, energetic, collaborative workplace where people expect their work tools to do the best job possible, visit FitHowYouWant.com and explore Generation by Knoll, the award-winning work chair. Generation's advanced design and flexing features give you the freedom to be you and allow you to move effortlessly about your day. Generation by Knoll, for anyone in today's workplace, but especially for those who refuse to sit still, visit FitHowYouWant.com today.
Your Monday will never be the same because it's Fajita Rita Monday at Chili's. Get a double order of classic fajitas for only $14.49. A full pound of juicy, marinated steak or chicken grilled to perfection, served sizzling with onions, bell peppers, and the works. Enough for two, just $14.49. And a single order is $8.99. Enjoy a frothy 10-ounce top shelf or Caribbean margarita for only $2.99. It's Fajita-Rita Monday, all day, every Monday at participating Chili's.
In the sports arena, the greatest glory comes from success when it really counts. Kindred Hospitals knows that feeling. As one of Fortune Magazine's most admired companies for 2 years running, we offer high-intensity medical care at the most crucial points in our patients' lives. Our team is Kindred, our game is healing, and winning is recovery. We win a lot. Let the Kindred team help when it counts most. For more information, visit kindredhospitals.com.
It's the Quaker Halftime Report presented by United Healthcare. With audio highlights from the first 20 minutes, feature interviews, and a full stat recap, once again with Vince Curran, here's Brian Seltzer.
Harvard comes in playing like a program that is desperate to force a showdown with the Princeton Tigers for first place in the Ivy League tomorrow night on this Friday, March 4th evening. 47-25, all Crimson 20 minutes through. Three games to go, well, two and a half games to go for the Penn Quakers in the 2010-2011 regular season. Potentially five outgoing seniors on the club, the first one of which we'll hear from at the beginning of our senior class interview spotlight series. Danny Munkin, who unfortunately, after a breakout performance in the second half of 2009-2010, hasn't been able to make it on the floor at all this campaign, but Danny Munkin is still a part of the program, and earlier this afternoon had a chance to chat with Munkin, reflecting on his four-year Quaker career.
Dan, probably not the senior season that you might have envisioned, but just to be able to be a part of the program over the last couple months, traveling this weekend with the club, what has that meant to you?
You know, it's meant a lot. Obviously, it was very hard on me when I found out that my knee was anticipated being a smaller injury, less significant. When I found out that it was the microfracture and that I would probably be missing, you know, significant amounts of the year, if not most of all of it, which looks like it is now, I thought, it was very nice. It gave me something to hold on to, also something to be a part of still. I felt like I was still part of the family, the program. Never once did I feel like, oh, I was injured. They don't care about me. I'm kind of out, you know, whatever. But like, you know, if I showed up late to a meeting, you know, everyone has to run. And they expected the same on me, obviously not in terms of playing, but in terms of carrying myself and things I did. And, you know, I still wore, you know, I still had the pen, everyone's halo, you know, over, but that everyone sees you out, you're still part of the basketball team. So I still felt like part of the team. So it was huge for me, mentally and, yeah.
So what are some of the things that you've tried doing over the course of the season, testing the injury to determine gauge, whether or not getting back out there on the hardwood would even be feasible?
Yeah, it's been a pretty long, grueling process. I've been staying in touch with the doctor who took the procedure. Also, Sam has been a big help. And throughout, mostly, you know, it was month by month. What we do is we try to, you know, first, they said after about 4 months, you can start, it was 8 weeks of walking, or crutches, and I could start walking, and then after about 4 months, I could start doing light bike, you know, every month to progress to something more like elliptical than running, and then, months to make my jump. And initially the doctor said, you know, the smartest thing would be to take out as long as you can, you know, a year, because, you know, the NBA guys have the same surgery, you know, getting the top care provided for them and everything. They take a whole year out before they can come back from the surgery. So, but he mentioned that 6 months would be able to come back. So I initially planned that I was coming back, by January. I was hoping that early January, maybe catch the last big five games and then all of Ivy League season and be ready to help. Obviously, didn't progress like I'd hoped. Not that it's bad, but it wasn't. For me to be coming back fast, it had to, you know, be kind of a miracle, and it didn't happen, so that was kind of rough. But yeah, I mean, some days, you know, you go out, and for me, you push it, thinking like, oh, it feels great, you know, and then you got to kind of lay off of it. Overall, though, I think it's been I've been taking it kind of easy in terms of how I want to push it. Obviously, I'm going to need my knee for the rest of my life to walk, but so far, that's been with how it's been. Some progress, I guess, month to month. So right now it feels good. You know, some days I can run. I'm starting to jump off a little bit, but nowhere near, in terms of putting 100% and getting out there and playing right at this moment, I don't think I could do it.
Talking to Dan Munson, a member of the Quakers' outgoing senior class for 2011. Your previous season, though, you'll always have that, regardless of what else took place in your Quaker career. Finished third on the team in points per game, right up there in rebounds as well. Just how awesome was that for you? 2010, it was like when the calendar turned from 09 to 10. You just exploded.
Yeah, exactly. Contrary to belief, I thought I could do that for a while, but, it was nice. It was real nice for me. And it kind of gives me some closure knowing that I can play at this level. You know, my freshman and sophomore year when I wasn't playing as much, a big thing was, did I make a mistake? Coming here, am I not good enough? You start questioning and things like that. So to have that year was a lot of fun. Obviously, we didn't, play as well as I'd hoped. And obviously, I expected to be winning Ivy League titles every year. But it didn't happen that way. But having that season, kind of at least I can look back when it's all said and done and say, I put in my, I tried hard, I put in my time, and I was able to have a little success in my career. So, it's not a lot, it's not what I envisioned. This wasn't how I planned my career here to be, but at least I had something to hold on to when it's all said and done.
What about the next career out there in the big old real world?
Undecided right now as to what that entails. Maybe trying to come back and play basketball somewhere. Who knows? There's a few other things I got on my mind. I have to talk with coaches and figure it all out. In spite of all the negative that has come on here, I have learned a lot and I've grown a lot. And I know I'm a much better person now than 4 years ago when I stepped foot on campus. Or when I committed, actually, on campus. I think I've prepared myself well for hopefully more successful than this has been, but I'm looking forward to the future.
Dan Munson, a very intriguing Penn Quaker career, and last year was just a phenomenal effort for him. Unfortunately, wasn't able to really build upon it this year due to injury, but as he said in that conversation, you never know, maybe there's some playing options for him somewhere next year or graduate eligibility situation, which has been implemented by the NCAA over the last couple of seasons. So best of luck to Danny Munson going forward. Terrific kid. And congratulations on his Penn career. His squad down. Whoa, it's not too much fun to look up at that scoreboard. 22 points, 47-25. About two-thirds of the way through halftime at Wavidi Pavilion, Quakers back out on the court. From Alien Sports, this is 10 Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
When you were 18, you fixed your own car. Then you fixed your friend's car. Then you fixed your friend's sister's car. Then you fixed your friend's sister's uncle's car. And next thing you know, you had yourself a car repair business. And while you're definitely an expert on four-cylinder engines, you're not exactly an expert on employee health insurance. No problem.
Well, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know that I just want to look some more.
At Independence Blue Cross, we make it easy for you to find a plan that fits your growing business. You see, we have lots of choices that are flexible and affordable. And you can find a plan that keeps deductibles low. You can modify it to add wellness programs. And you can customize the plan to keep it within your budget. So whether your business is small or big, go to planforfit.com. Independence Blue Cross. Now more than ever, we're here for you every step of the way. Independent licensee at the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
950 ESPN.
950 ESPN.
WPEN Philadelphia.
47-25, Harvard at the half, about 3 minutes and 45 seconds until the start of the second stanza. The Penn Quakers Senior Class Interview Spotlight Series continuing. You just heard from Danny Munson. Now on to Andreas Schreiber, hailing from Sweden. He spent the last 7 years between prep school and Penn in the United States.
And in chatting with Trey, I asked which one of two members of the program currently here, he and Darren Smith, that experienced Ivy League championships. They were both on the team in 2006-2007. And to begin my chat with Dre, I asked him what it's been like beginning your career with the Crown, but then having to fight through adversity the previous four.
I think you learn it's not that easy. You know, that you have to put in the work and you have to demand perfection out of yourself. I think it's just, you know, I don't know what else to say. It's just so hard on us to see that, you know, Jack Eggleston, for example, hasn't been able to get a ring, even though he is probably the hardest worker on the team. You know, hopefully he'll be able to, like, reflect back and see some positive in his years. You know, obviously I can look back and see the freshman, my freshman, and, you know, see how it was like, but it's just unfortunate he won't be able to see kind of what Penn basketball used to be like, you know, and I think future generations will be able to see that.
In with Penn's senior big, Andreas Schreiber, a senior class profile, halftime between the Quakers and Harvard in Cambridge, Massachusetts. They weren't on the floor too much the previous two seasons battling injuries with a shoulder problem, but just to get out there on the floor this year, log some minutes, what does that mean to you?
It means a lot, you know, just kind of end my season on a better note than, you know, last previous 2 years. And, you know, I had a hand injury, obviously, but I don't know what else to say. It's just unfortunate on my part. You know, just staying healthy is always key. Maybe Jack again. I don't understand how he does it. You know, he plays every game, 39 minutes per game, and he's never had a really, like, injury. It's just it's unfair almost. But, you know, it's pretty awesome just to come out and just play a couple minutes. I try to play as hard as I can just for those minutes. So.
After May, what is the future home for Andreas Schreiber? I mean, the Quakers' goodwill ambassador to the country of Sweden, or what's going on in Andreas' future?
Well, we'll see. Hopefully go over to Europe and play. It's a lot easier for me because I have, you know, dual citizenship, so I'll be able to hopefully play in, you know, Germany or Italy or Spain. I wouldn't want to go back to Sweden, but that would be the last option, go back to Sweden. Just because I've been there so long, I know that kind of culture. I just want to see a new experience, kind of live a new experience, you know, live a new life, and kind of live that experience.
Andreas Schreiber, prior to 2010-2011, had played in only four games the previous 2 years. He's made it on the court for the Quakers this year for 13 games, starting six for Jerome Allen. He's yet to see any minutes tonight. He produced 4 points. Penn's previous game on Saturday against Cornell, the Quakers are going to need a lot of help if they have any designs on trudging back against the ultra-tough Harvard Crimson, who are 21-5 overall, a half a game out of first in the Ivy League at 10-2, trailing Princeton, which leads Dartmouth at the break. And, of course, the Harvard Crimson and the Tigers will tangle here at Lavini's Pavilion tomorrow night. But still 20 minutes to go in regulation in this one, 47-25. Crimson all over the Penn Quakers. Along with our studio coordinator, Betsy Deming, my partner tonight, filling in for the traveling television analyst, the Vin-Man Vince Kern, who will be working an Atlantic 10 TV broadcast later this weekend at Richmond. Mike Mahoney, the director of 10 Athletics Communications. And Mike, the Harvard Crimson came out on fire, shooting 17 of 26 in the first half, 7 for 12 from the outside. You got home two things. The Quakers can apply a little bit more defensive pressure, and also maybe the Crimson cool just a little bit.
That would be nice. It would be a good combination for the Quakers, but really Harvard able to do whatever they wanted offensively. They drove the lane. They were able to get in and find the open man. They're making the extra pass, sometimes more than one, sometimes two or three, that really lead to wide open shots and a couple guys that they, you know, can be hit or miss for them or hitting.
Penn with the ball, road navy blue uniforms, Penn and white across the front from right to left, front court left to open up this second half. 10 seconds in, great look, Bernardini, Eggleston, cuts past McNally for two. Eggleston has 7. Penn within 20. And away from the play, an offensive foul committed by Kyle Casey of the Crimson.
Well, and Kyle Casey, he makes one mistake by running into Eggleston. Eggleston kind of tries to sell it, doesn't get it. Casey does it again the second time he gets caught.
47-27, Crimson by 20. The Quakers in the first meeting of these two teams earlier this season, which the Red and Blue pushed to two overtimes,
trailed by as many as 18 in the second half. Eggleston, they're going to count his bunny hook shot near left lower post, goaltending a call on Casey of Harvard. So 47-29, first 4 points of the second half for Eggleston of Penn.
It's clear that Eggleston missing all those minutes in the first half. He's going to try and make up for it this half.
Eggleston,
start for him.
With 9 points, he's been below double figures his last 2 weekends. Top of the arc, Curry fronted by Hallett. Hallett playing with a pair of personals. Casey far left wing, swings near right. Webster pump fakes past Bernardini, looking down low to right, and he throws it over the far left baseline. So how about that,
well,
Mahomes?
That's a case of where they own the pass that time. Webster probably should have put that up and off the glass. He would have gotten an easy bucket or at least a foul. Instead, he tries to find right, so maybe a little bit of overpassing by the Crimson that time.
Harvard with only 5 turnovers in the first 20 minutes. 2 cough-ups in the first 70 seconds of the second half. Bernardini top of the arc. McNally working on him. Far right on the wing. Cartwright. Shot clock at 10 for Penn. A minute 15 gone by in the second. Cartwright carving through the key. Finger roll finish. No call. Cartwright. He has 10. And within 16, a blitzing start for the red and blue to begin the second half.
There may be a little bit of a case of things came so easily for Harvard in that first half that they're not sure quite how to respond to this little punch by the Quakers.
Curry trapped on a double team near right wing, near right corner. Casey across the way. McNally motoring left baseline. Shooting Casey under the arc near right. Bullet pass to Webster, short on the three from the far left corner. Leaping up for the rebound. Eggleston, Pendleton 16.
This is about as animated as we've seen Coach Allen on the sideline so far in this game. The first half there was just almost like a look of resignation a lot of the time over there, but they're starting to get up and get into it.
First 6 points in the second half for the Quakers. Harvard begging the Quakers to hang around after those two early turnovers. Cartwright sorts the three, top of the arc. Wright muscles in for the rebound.
Probably should have taken that shot, taken that ball in a few more steps to shoot it.
Curry a straightaway two-pointer from the top of the key. Brandon Curry with 8 points his last 3 games versus Penn. He has averaged just a shade under double figures.
And he has 8 assists in this game. I mean, he has really controlled this game from his point guard spot.
Howard back to bucket near left baseline, working on right to his right, draws a foul on the way up. 49-31, Crimson by 18, 17-11, left in the second half.
Good to see Howard get it on the block. He's got a big body on him, and Keith Wright still goes after him, gets the shot up, and is able to draw the foul.
And actually, the foul will be assessed, Mike, against Oliver McNally.
Yep, McNally got a hand in there trying to help out.
His third personal foul, second team foul against the Crimson in the second. Hallett, right-handed shooting junior, hits his first free throw. First time, Mahomes, that Hallett has appeared on the hardwood here in his native state of Massachusetts in an Ivy League game. Hallett has brought Penn within 17. Trying to make it a 16-point margin, and he does. A perfect twist from Mike Hallett to last four, 49-33.
Well, and if you're Penn, you can't make it all up in one chunk, so you try and get it here and there, and they've already made up 6 of the points from halftime, so that's a good start.
Push off foul, Hallett, far left side of the lane, as he was being backed into by Keith Wright. What a physical force Keith Wright is.
You know, we haven't even talked about really the calculated risk that Coach Allen has taken in this half, starting Zach Rosen.
Webster
raised the 3,000 this game.
Webster hits the baseline jumper, far left wing. And the Quakers forced to take a timeout as Eggleston was getting ready to inbound with 16:54 left in the second half, 51-33 Crimson.
Rosen was covered by a long Christian Webster and wasn't able to get free, and there was no one else to come back and help. And Coach Allen got in Cartwright's ear a little bit, told Miles, hey, you got to be awake. You got to be aware that that's happening. You got to come back and get that ball.
Webster entering the evening, 9th in the Ivy League in points per game, 10th in field goal shooting so far tonight. Webster with a total of 7 points for the Johnnies. He ruptured the Bulldogs for 22 points, a team-high total last Saturday, an opportunity
that the Crimson had down the stretch ultimately did not go in that game when Yale took a 70-69 lead with 41 seconds to go in the second half, and then Curry missed on a right jumper with a second left. There were 11 ties and 8 lead changes in that game, a loss that halted the Crimson's 6-game winning streak, but they won 8 in a row earlier this season, and with a victory tonight coming into the game at 21-5 overall, the Crimson a chance to set for the second straight season a new single-season record for victories in a year.
Well, you know, there was talk during the early portion of the Ivy League season whether or not this team was an at-large team.
Yeah.
You know, given the conference RPI, given their record, given some of their wins that they've had against some quality opponents out of conference, and, you know, probably the loss to Yale killed any hopes of that, but, I mean, they have proven that they are a legitimate squad, and not just in the Ivy League, but on the East Coast and nationally with some of their wins. I mean, they beat a Colorado team that made some waves in the Big 12, so they've got some good wins.
Well, poke and press by the Crimson, 16:45 to go, 51-33 Harvard. Top of the arc, Rosen tracks down a near throwaway by Cartwright. Rosen head of steam, far right baseline, kick out top of the arc, Eggleston, pump fake, trails behind Rosen, catching fire, connects on a straightaway three. Rosen's first three of the game, his team leading 47th of the season, and within 15.
And again, if you can get those points, one of those points back,
McNally switches a three in the zone from the near right perimeter. McNally, his second three-pointer of the night. He has 34 on the season, 54-36 Clemson.
And Rosen gets 3 points down at the offensive end, but just loses McNally that time on defense, and so all square from that perspective.
Sneakers sweeping at Levitis Pavilion in Cambridge. Cartwright, as he drove the bucket, had his progress interrupted as the Crimson crowd cheers him derisively as he failed to flush a dunk, but there was a foul away from the play committed by Harvard. That'll be the Crimson's third team foul here in the second half. Penn has one, and they'll keep it with 15:55 to go in the second. Time out of the fourth, the score, Harvard in front of Penn, 54-36 from Milligan Sports. Penn men's basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
Often in sports, extra time is needed for victories. Minutes of overtime make all the difference. The same is true of recovery from a critical illness. Sometimes patients require care beyond a traditional hospital stay. Kindred Hospitals is there for them in the fight for recovery in the game of their lives. Kindred Hospitals provide aggressive, high-intensity care to medically complex patients requiring extended recovery time. Let the Kindred team help when it counts most. For more information, visit kindredhospitals.com.
I just downloaded an app for my phone. Let's see if this works. Phone, find me a burger and a Coke.
I'm busy right now.
What? I guess I'll call a human.
Like your mom.
Whoa, listen, if I'm going to have a burger, I have to have a Coke.
Talk to the hand.
No one says that anymore.
I got a lot of drama going on.
All right, well, why don't we go together?
Four blocks for a burger and a Coke.
Thanks, phone.
Coca-Cola, both in happiness.
55-year-old in the second half. Forward leading Penn 54-36. Mike Mahoney with a look on the Comcast Sportsnet out-of-town scoreboard.
Thanks, Chelsea. We got Princeton over Dartmouth. So the stage is set for tomorrow night here in Cambridge. Yale, which Penn can still surpass to get to third place, up 7 on Columbia. And Cornell and Brown. Brown up 6 on the Big Red.
Off the inbounds, Harvard creating a steal against Penn. Here's Webster near right baseline under the bucket, kick out McNally. Near right, Revar for three, throws it in the 10 is fifth. Three-pointer of the night. He has 17.
Well, that rim is looking as big as the ocean right now if you're him.
Oh, and Curry picks off a quad-course pass to the 10. Contact, no connection. As Curry, we're heading to the free throw line with 15:21 to go in the second. 57-36 Harvard. Curry, great anticipation back the other way, generating the steal. That'll be the eighth for the Crimson tonight.
But against a team this quick, that's an ill-advised pass out there, especially out in the backcourt like that.
Curry, the left-handed shooting sophomore,
Penn's in his first. He's now 4-for-4 from the free throw line. Curry, 16 total points over 69 minutes last weekend. Tonight, Curry with 10 points, a double-double to go along with 11 assists. Now make him equal in both categories as he drains the free throw. 59-36. Crimson continue to put the pressure on Penn.
Well, just like that, Penn had gotten, you know, within shouting distance, 16 points, 14 points. Now here we are, and now it's back to 23 points.
Top guard Eggleston, feed down low, Rosenwest baseline, far right corner, Bernardini can't hit a three. Tap out to Mike Mahoney, seated to my left at the broadcast position here, out of bounds.
I got to grab the orange, squeeze the orange.
That was right to you.
Squeeze the orange.
You should have gone up with that stuff. As Vin Man would like to say, no hesitation.
I would have laid it up and in, baby.
Would have laid it. 14:55 to play in the second, 59-36. Crimson. Curry far left on the wing. Feed down low over the head of a jumping Keith Wright along the far left baseline. Quakers creating some defensive confusion there as Doherty was switching.
Kyle Casey can get up to that ball. Keith Wright a little more heft on him. Unable to get quite the spring.
Bernardini, top of the arc, in the key. Eggleston turns right, turns left, can't hit the six-foot hook shot.
Ryan Eggleston's got to do more with that when he's got Rivard on him like that.
Rebound hauled in by Wright of the Crimson. In the near right corner, Webster fires and flushes from the outside. Webster, second three. Harvard, their 10th triple of the game, 62-36 with 14:10 to play.
Tyler Bernardini commits to coming inside to try and stop the drive, and Webster's left wide open. Again, just wide open look.
Rosen struck by Curry near left wing. Brandon Curry offensively, defensively, a very aggressive effort tonight. Webster pump fakes near right wing, foul line, swinging far left corner. McNally an air ball and a three attempt into the outstretched arms of Eggleston. And back the other way, Rosen nearly tripped up at the foul line. Leaning in, the left-handed runner falls for Zach Rosen, who now has 7 of 10, 38. The Quakers trailing by 24, 62-38. Far right baseline, Webster through a double team, kick out Rivard, short on the three, rebound to Bernardini, Penn pushing tempo back the other way. Tyler nearly lost the handle, trails behind Rosen, far right baseline, Eggleston, foul line, Doherty driving, turning to his left, and is fouled by Keith Wright, 2 feet from the hoop.
Good job by Doherty to get that ball to his left hand, not expected. Obviously his weaker hand, but he tries, he goes up, draws the foul from Wright on that play.
Dow Jock, who has not played since registering 1 minute at Brown 2 weeks ago, lining up far sideline to sub in. Fran Doherty out of Archbishop Wood gets the roll to rattle home on his first free throw attempt. Doherty now 17 of 39 from the free throw line. Kyle Casey checking in for Keith Wright. Wright with a dominant 10-point effort in the first half, 4 rebounds as well. Doherty makes it a 23-point game, and his second foul shot rimmies out. Score remains 62-39 with 13:05 to play.
We're seeing a lot of different bodies out here by 10, and on a night like tonight, why wouldn't you? You're out of the chase. You're playing a game, you know, great experience to play against this Harvard group. All of these guys are back next year for the Crimson. This is a good experience for guys like Gunter, for Sal Josh, for Fran. So you've got to give them a minute.
In the key, down low, McNally, a left baseline runner with the right hand, tacks on 2 more points. 64-39 Crimson, 12:35 remaining in regulation. McNally with 10 points. And a foul. Pardon me, the Quakers.
I think Cartwright threw it away. Tyler made a move that Cartwright wasn't expecting, and the ball went out of bounds. Coach Allen calling timeout, trying to regroup these guys.
12:31 to play in the second, 64-39, all Harvard Crimson. Harvard continuing to convert its field goals at such a torrid pace, 23 for 35. Last weekend, the Crimson shot 44.4%. Between its two games, a win at Brown on Friday, followed by a loss by a point at Yale. The Crimson, Mike, in both games versus the Brown Bears this season, trailing at intermission. Bears just unable to hold on. Brown is 4-8, but that's not necessarily, not my opinion, matters much, but not very representative of their caliber.
Brown is a scary team, and I think they're a team that over the next couple of years we're going to be hearing from. You look at a lot of their main guys are freshmen and sophomores, and they're a team that probably 2 years from now will be right there in the hunt. You know, looking at this game so far, Brandon Curry, what a night he's had. 11 points, 13 assists, 4 steals. I mean, unbelievable game for him so far.
The aforementioned Curry under the timeline near right. Shot clock 15 for the Crimson, 64-39. Harvard with a commanding lead. Curry tiptoeing far left side of the lane, throws it into the hands of a jumping Jack Eggleston. Quakers back the other way, right to left. Cartwright spinning far right side of the lane. Twirl for the 10, gets fouled, and the finish for Miles Cartwright. Making it 64-41 with 11:55 to go.
That's what he does when he starts going to the rim. He is a hard guy to stop. He knows what he's doing getting to the 10, and he did a great job there.
Cartwright now with a dozen points on the night for Penn in double digits for a fourth consecutive outing. 11:55 to go in the second half. Time out of the fourth to score. Harvard leading Penn by 23, 64-41. Now is it sports? Spend that basketball at 9:50 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
There's always a moment of truth where it's either put up or shut up. We were yelling our hearts out. Even in our weakness, even in our pain, we continued to push. I don't know where the pain went to, but all I know is that I had what it took. I am a United States Marine.
PFC Darrell Willis serves his country as a Marine. Will you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES.
Penn fans, for the most up-to-date information on Penn Athletics, visit the new and improved official website of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Create your Quaker ePass today for a one-stop shop for merchandise, streaming, tickets, auctions, and more. You can watch exclusive videos, subscribe to podcasts, and also get the latest details on your favorite teams with blogs from Penn Athletics coaches and players. Go online today to the brand new PennAthletics.com. Fans every night at 6 and a minute can get total high definition coverage of your favorite Philly sports teams on Comcast Sportsnet Sportsnet. Tune in to Comcast Sportsnet, the most in-depth reports in town every night at 6 and then again at 10. Sportsnet only on Comcast Sportsnet. Nobody, and we need nobody, does Philly sports better than our pals at Comcast Sportsnet. 11:55 to play in the second half. Harvard seeking a season sweep versus the Penn Quakers, leading 64-41. Snow on the ground outside of Levitis in Cambridge. Miles Cartwright with a free throw out of the timeout. Completes the old-fashioned three-point play. Cartwright with a baker's dozen. Penn with token full-court press. Crimson break it with 4 seconds to spare. In the near right corner, Rivar with 5 three-pointers and 17 points. Goes to his left, top of the arc, to Brandon Curry. 16-2 for the Crimson. Casey bobbles near right corner, pressured by Doherty along the baseline, and Doherty's defense generates a turnover, forced by Penn. 10th cough-up committed by Harper.
Well, and there's something, we haven't seen a lot of that tonight from Penn defensively, where they really came out and attacked from a defensive standpoint, really forced Harvard to make their plays, and Kyle Casey dribbled it out of bounds.
Now Doc on the floor for Penn. Nice look, Doherty Edelson short on a one-foot lay-in attempt. Near left baseline, ball back to Harvard following the Crimson rebound.
Well, there's something you don't see very often. Jack Eggleston especially going to his strong side, the left hand. That's usually an automatic two, so for that not to go down is really frustrating for him.
Eggleston sitting on 9 points. Curry far left baseline. Kick out Webster. Far left of three. Counted. For Kristen Webster, the 11th Harvard Crimson three-pointer. Webster has 3 of them. Rivar has 5 of them. 67-42, Crimson by 25. Rosen near left side of the lane. Top of the arc, Eggleston. Ball above his head. Trails behind the Harvard 8. Center court to Miles Cartwright. Shot clock at 13 for Penn. Cartwright near left wing. Left hand dribble in the lane. Doherty right, left. Foul in.
and he gets the bucket to drop as he went off the glass for the deuce.
I'll tell you what, it doesn't always look good coming out of Fran Doherty's hands, but he is McHale-esque as I reach into my hot tub time machine right here. Growing up in the Boston area myself, spent many a year watching Kevin McHale, and Fran Doherty has some of those elements when he's on the block. He's not going to wow you with his moves, but he finds a way to get it into the bucket.
Larry Rivard to the bench along with Brandon Curry, Wright, and McNally back in. Doherty delivers the free throw to complete the three-point play. 10 within 22, 10-19 to go, 67-45. Brown and McNally playing catch across the timeline. Far left corner, Casey, top of the arc, McNally. Cycles the offense with his right hand on the signal. Curry pressured by Jock, near right wing, pardon me, that was Webster. Top of the arc, McNally makes his way far left sideline. Back to the bucket, Rosen on him, hands off Webster, and he's forced into a walk on the swarming defense provided by a pair of 10 freshman guards, Cartwright and Jock.
Yeah, good job defensively there, and got him into a spot where he wasn't going to be able to get out.
Nice to see the 10 defense, a little bit more aggressive second half. Jock steps over the end line beneath the bucket, following the feed from Eggleston atop the arc.
And Coach Allen saying to Jack Eggleston why, and I agree with him. Now Jock is not a guy who's A, going to expect that play, and you're just not sure how he's going to be able to handle a ball like that. That was a very precise pass that Jack needed to make to get that ball in there. Probably shouldn't be going for that if it's Dow Jock in that spot. A guy like a Rosen, a Bernardini, he's used to that kind of play. That might work. Dow Jock just getting his first couple of minutes. He hasn't been out there a whole lot in quality minutes. Probably not the right pass to make at this time of the game.
Brown out for Harvard. Georgiades back in. Rivar over the timeline with 3 seconds to spare near right. 67-45 Crimson, 9.5 to play in the second. Rivar far left to McNally on the wing, just in front of the Crimson bench. Crimson seeking their 16th straight home victory, going back to last year. Rivar's pass intercepted by Rosen beneath the bucket, back to the way. Bernardini barges in for two near left side. 10 within 20, 67-47.
Great job by Zach Rosen recognizing the situation, seeing there was the opportunity for the fast break, and took it.
Bernardini with 6 tonight, following a 14-point effort versus, 13-point effort versus Harvard's first time around. Near right on the wing, Georgiades has McNally in the right corner. Shot clock at 15 for Harvard. McNally, left-hand dribble, pass Doherty, top of the arc for 3, short off iron, down, Jock, delivering the first rebound of his Quaker career. Cartwright, 3 near left, can't hit a 3, rebound to right for Harvard.
Unfortunate, because that would have given some momentum, and instead now we're down at the other end, and almost went down a 3 by Webster.
Rosen with the run out, slashing in the lane, over the shoulder with the non-dominant right hand for the Deuce. 67-49, the Quakers within 20. 8:15 to play. A timeout taken by Tommy Amaker in his fourth season with the Crimson on the far left sideline as we see it.
Well, I think what's going to be interesting over these next few minutes is, you know, obviously if you're Harvard, you need to start thinking about tomorrow night as well as tonight. And you're up 18, you got 8 minutes to go. If you can get guys some rest, I would think that you would want to try and start thinking about that. And maybe you don't rest them all at once, but maybe you start giving Keith Wright an extra minute or two at this point. Maybe you start giving Christian Webster. Maybe you start giving Brandon Curry. It'll be interesting to see how they kind of roll these guys out there, I think, over these final 8 minutes, especially knowing that Princeton's got their game in hand. You got to think that Princeton's probably thinking kind of along the same line, you know, resting some guys, especially since they're on the road. They got a 2.5-hour bus ride to get down here. Yeah, it's like 2+. We'll say 2:15 for giggles, but the, Yeah, there you go. So it'll be interesting to see what Harvard does. For Harvard and Princeton, there's a chess match still going on tonight, even though they're not in the same gym.
Harvard with the ball, left-right, front court right, and an offensive foul on a far-left baseline runner. committed by Jeff Georgiades.
Georgiades,
17 foul. Pardon me, Mike.
Sorry, no problem. The Georgiades has taken far too long to get to the basket. And, unlike a lot of his teammates who can get there with some speed, he just gave Penn too much time to set up shop under the basket and get that charge.
With 8 minutes to go, the Quakers trailing by 18. So if the red and blue were to make a run, now would likely be the ideal time. Josh near left of the wing. Nice look to Eggleston, who drew contact on the court. And Jack Eggleston will head to the free throw line following this breather for a one-on-one opportunity. 7:50 to go in the second half. Time out of the fourth to score. Penn trailing Harvard by 18, 67-49. From Elegant Sports, Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
Quakers fans, looking for the best meal deal in Philadelphia? Come on down to Adler's Cheesesteaks in University City. A Penn tradition, Adler's is located at 3818 Chestnut Street and is home to the best cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. The next time you're visiting historic Franklin Field, the Palestra, or anywhere else on the Penn campus, be sure to stop by Adler's Cheesesteaks of University City, a proud supporter of Penn Athletics. Supporters of the Penn women's basketball team can make a donation to worthwhile charities through the Charge for a Cure program. Fans can donate a designated amount for every charge taken by the Penn women's basketball team, with the proceeds going to one of the five leading charitable foundations: the ALS Association of America, the Lupus Foundation of America, the Michael J. Fox Foundation, the Susan G. Komen Foundation, and the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. A different charitable foundation will benefit each month, November through March, during the season. For more information or to make a donation, visit the women's basketball page at PennAthletics.com. That's Charge for a Cure at PennAthletics.com.
7:50 remaining in regulation from Lazzini's Pavilion on the campus of Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. From the start, the Crimson have dominated this game. They lead by 18-67-49. Biggest bulge of the evening for Harvard. Second place in the Ivy League, a half game out of first, led by 26 with 14:22 to go in the second half. It's our final broadcast of the season here on 950 WPEN ESPN AM, the Philadelphia listening area. So big thanks to all the staff at 950. Jack Eggleston, front end of a 1-1 to Southpaw, strokes the switch. And he now is out of his four-game under double-figure scoring slump on his 10th point to make it 67-50.
Well, and after the first half he had, it's nice to see him have the second half he has had. He got off to the quick start, scored the first two buckets, and really kind of got things going for the Quakers.
Eggleston deposits his second, 67-51. The Quakes trying to claw back into this thing with 7:45 to play. Jake McCann, Matt DeHiggins, Joe DeCamera, Robin D. Hibbler, Robin D. Hibbler, and Jesse Deming. Big thanks to Santa Fe City helping out the game. Casey drawing contact. Far left baseline, harmed on his way up to the hoop. So it'll be free throws for Kyle Casey. Penn just for a third team foul, Mike, here in the second.
But it was a weird defense by Penn. It's like all five guys got sucked over to the right side of the court. Kyle Casey left wide open on the left side, and just the ball didn't get there in enough time for him to flush it, but amazing how open he was.
Casey, 78.9% from the free throw line this season. Drains his first.
Crimson haven't missed a shot from the foul line tonight. They're 9 of 9.
Second emanation collectively as a team from the free throw line is Harvard. Casey's second one, shooting 2 all right. Rattles off the front of the rim and through. And Casey came up a little bit gimpy on his right ankle.
Yeah, kind of weird. I'm not sure what happened. It looked like Dow Josh got into him on the rebound, but I'm not sure if Dow got a little more than Casey expected or what.
69-51, Quakers trailing by 18. Jock near left for 3, short, didn't waste much time. Loose ball rebound, rolls into the cup, high off the glass, no. A whistle on the court.
Probably not the shot that Coach Allen's looking for from Dow Jock, but a nice job getting to the offensive glass, first by Rosen and then actually by Jock.
Keith Wright called for the personal foul, 19 foul. And second for Wright, who didn't might commit a foul for 2 overtime periods against Penn.
I know there were plenty of people who questioned how something like that could happen. You see Kyle Casey coming off the floor right now. If you're Tommy Amaker, why do you put him back in? The kid's limping a little bit, you know? Just let him sit and rest him for tomorrow.
Mike Hallett hits the front end. 69-52, Quakers down by 17, 7-13 to play. 10, 11 for 12 from the stripe. Make it 12 for 13. Hallett hits both. Mike on the night with 6, and the Quakers within 16 points, 7-09 to play.
You know, you look at the stats for Penn, they're shooting almost 50% from the field. They're 4 of 11 on threes, which is nothing to you know, laugh at. I mean, a respectable showing offensively in some ways, but they've never had a chance to get into this game. The turnovers is really what hurt them. They've had 17 of them. It's led to 26 points for the Crimson.
11 in the first half. Top of the arc, Curry. 5 to shoot. Near run of the wing, Revar. Edelson with the right hand of the space. Revar to step back at him. 6 it. A long 2. Locking in Revar. He has 19 points. Harvard in front, 71-53. 6:26 to go in the second. Rosen. With his rear to the Quaker bench, far right, near left corner, Cartwright all alone, hits an open three. Third three of the game for Miles Cartwright, who has collected 15 for the Red and Blue. That's 16, pardon me, for Cartwright. Tyler Bernardini whistled for a foul beneath the Harvard H center court. That'll be his third of the fourth for the Quakers. 71-56, Harvard's lead is 15.
You know, the Quakers are making this a respectable score. You know, you could say they still have a shot at making this a game. Obviously, the next hurdle is to get it inside of 10. It starts with a stop right now.
McNally, near right on the perimeter, top of the arc, Webster, far left on the wing to Revar. He has been a lethal. Bernardini nearly picked his pocket. Revar recovered the loose ball. Tommy Amaker not liking what he was observing just in front of him. So he takes a 30-second timeout with 5:54 to go, 71-56.
That was one of the few times that we've seen Harvard in a bit of disarray offensively tonight. They're shooting. They're 25 of 39 from the field, 64%, 11 of 21 on threes. I mean, they've been able to do what they've wanted to do. They've got 20 assists on their 25 baskets. So they're finding open men. They're finding ways to get to the basket, get the open looks, and they've done it all night. They've done a great job. It's been not as precise in the second half as it was in the first, but the numbers still bear out the fact that they've been very efficient offensively.
You know, Cornell on Saturday, 25 assists on 28 field goals versus the Red and Blue. Confirms the battle of the boards. The Quakers had an early advantage in that statistical category, but Penn shooting 50% for the game. Harvard 64.1, so total just 34 rebounds.
That's actually amazing. I mean, there's a lot of games, a lot of times where one team has that many boards in a game.
Yeah.
Penn almost averages 34 rebounds a game, and they've got that combined tonight.
7-2 for the Crimson. Curry top of the arc, one-on-one with Rosen, who sticks with him. Curry, far left, McNally, rises, fires, sorts the three, rebound in the far left corner. Battle for between Eggleston and Webster. Webster diving to flush it out of play, so the Quakers get it back with 5:28 to go in the second, down by 15, 71-56.
You get the stop. Now you've got the stop. Now if you're Penn, let's see if you can convert here. Make it a 13 or a 12-point game. You know, start making things a little... See how Harvard responds to that. They've blown some big leads over the course of the season, including one to the Quakers.
Cartwright, a key by 16, to the bucket, blocked by Keith Wright, out of bounds. Wright, his second swat of the game. Cartwright torpedoing his way into the Harvard cheerleading crew along the near left baseline.
What a nice guy, though. He actually stopped. He apologized to the young lady, asked her if she was all right. She's laughing over there. I think she's okay.
And now Cartwright to inbound along the near left baseline.
Don't be Facebook friends for this night's out.
Top of the arc feed to Rosen. 20 to shoot for Penn. 5:12 to play in the second. Rosen with 9 points on the far right post, feeding Jock. Can't hit a three. Offensive rebound, Eggleston. Cartwright near left corner. Hoist. Can't hit a three. Jock deflects to Eggleston. Another shot clock reset for Penn. Rosen
to Cartwright. Cartwright spinning out of control. A travel, a call.
Yep.
And Miles Sharp.
Yep, and he knew he was going to get called for it. He tried to throw that ball up before he could get called for the travel, but it just wasn't going to happen.
Quakers 18th turnover. Ball back to the Crimson.
You got Kyle Casey coming back out into the game. He's still limping a little bit. Again, if I'm Tommy Amaker, I'm not sure why you put him in there.
Yeah.
Let him rest a little bit. Give him the extra minute. Save him for tomorrow.
That's a great point. Casey with just 4 points and one field goal on the night. 71-56 Harvard nursing a substantial 15-point edge with 4.5 minutes to go in the second. 10-2 for the Crimson. Curry in the key. Picks the ball off his sneak and finishes it off with a finger roll. 2 points for Curry's third field goal, and he's got himself 13.
He split that double team really well, and it was only him and Dow Jock at that point. That's a tough matchup for the Quakers right now.
Bernardini back to the bucket, turning to his right over Rivar to record 2 points on a far right baseline right-handed runner. 8 for Tyler.
And at the other end, you got the veteran Bernardini and the freshman Rivar, and that is a matchup that Ted wants to see on the block.
Quakers back within 15, 73-58, 3:50 to play in the second half. The Quakers in danger of dropping a fifth consecutive game to the Crimson as Miles Cartwright will be whistled for the blocking foul on McNally's far left wing. And that would be a program record for consecutive losses in terms of 10 going up against the Harvard Crimson. 3:44 to play in the second half. Timeout on the floor. Your score, Crimson, seeking a program record 22nd. Overall victory tonight, leading 73-58. From Elegant Sports, Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
Come closer. I am the old school light bulb, and I love to suck the energy.
It's so delicious.
So expensive. $1, $5, $20.
Old light bulbs waste about $44 a year. Get energy efficient CFLs with Pico Smart Lighting Discount. Pico, we put our energy into lots of programs to save you money. For saving details, visit pico.com/smartideas or call 888-5-PICO-SAVE.
Often in sports, extra time is needed for victory. Minutes of overtime make all the difference. The same is true of recovery from a critical illness. Sometimes patients require care beyond a traditional hospital stay. Kindred Hospitals is there for them. In the fight for recovery, in the game of their lives, Kindred Hospitals provide aggressive, high-intensity care to medically complex patients requiring extended recovery time. Let the Kindred team help when it counts most. For more information, visit kindredhospitals.com.
3:44 left in the second half at Lavides Pavilion at Harvard, 73-58 Crimson. Mike Mahoney in quick check on the Comcast SportsNet out-of-town scoreboard.
Crimson ready for Harvard. They beat Dartmouth 77-55. It looks like Cornell is going to best Brown. They're inside a minute. Cornell up 9, 75-66. Yale up 2 on Columbia. Still to be decided in New York City.
Harvard with the ball, left right, front court right. Casey near right wing, trying to get past a pesky 10 freshman, Dow Jock. Shot clock at 18 for the Johnnies. McNally with his right-handed fingers pointed down, indicating the offensive set. From the left hand beneath the Harvard Crimson 8. McNally near right on the wing, handoff Rivar, far left side of the lane. The fall away, way wide to the right. Rebound Bernardini for the red and blue. Across the way, Rosen over the timeline, far right of the wing. Top of the arc, set up by Casey. Far right of the wing, Jock, and away from the play, a foul on the floor. 10th team foul against the Crimson. That one going against Casey, his second. So Mike, just before the break, mentioned that the Harvard Crimson, a potentially historic win, feasible for them tonight. Meanwhile, the red and blue with a loss this evening would be out of the running for a winning record overall for the first time since 2006-2007. Jack Eggleston back at the line. Eggleston sitting on 11 points to make it even 12 as he sinks his first free throw. Pretty decent night from Jack. Eggleston with 12-6 is our stat ticker. A little bit slow on the update. Baker's dozen now for Eggleston. That is 13th, the perfect 3-for-3 from the free throw line tonight for Jack. Quakers within 13, full court press on. McNally beats the trap near right corner in the backcourt. Auburn is 5 seconds across the timeline. They do with a center court pass in the front court to Casey. Far left on the wing, Revar, trapped on the timeline by Rosen and Jock. Far left on the wing, Eggleston reaching in and fouling Kristen Webster. With 2:45 to go, Harvard, a victory within its sight, 73-60. Mike, we were talking during the first out-of-town scoreboard look back at the outset of this second half. You know, this is going to be a different Ivy League going forward the next couple of years. Curry couldn't inbound. A foul committed by Jock on Casey. That's the sixth Quaker. Make that seventh Quaker team foul. 1-1 upcoming for the Crimson, but you take a look, obviously, at Princeton and Harvard, which for each team over the last 2 years producing 20 victories. Front end is good for Webster, seventh in the country in free throw shooting. Webster with 14 points, seeking his 15th. Line drive free throw, count it for Kristen Webster. 75-60 Harvard, a program record 22nd victory within its grasp with 2 minutes and 40 seconds to play.
You know, and five guys in double figures for them tonight. Regard with 19, most of them coming from three-point land. Curry really has been the dominant player in this game. 14 assists, 4 steals. I mean, awesome. Unbelievable. 6-6 from the foul line. He has really controlled this game. On the other side, you know, Rosen with 9 points, 5 assists, certainly serviceable, but not what you expect from Zach Rosen. Certainly not what we have seen night in and night out from Zach. It's just been, you know, Brandon has really controlled this game tonight.
Jack Eggleston setting an illegal screen, fouling out for the Quakers with 2:28 to go in the second half, 75-60, and in danger of dropping its second consecutive game and sixth loss potentially over its last 9 outings, and what could be a fifth setback in a row. The Harvard Crimson. Harvard will inbound. Revar far left on the wing. Curry in the backcourt. 75-60 Crimson with 2:21 to go. McNally on the timeline near right. Glides across the Crimson Harvard 8. Revar beats a trap. Great ball movement by the Crimson. That's been the case all night long, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Brevard locked himself into some trouble there, but he was able to get rid of it, and he's got four guys out there that really know what they do, what they're doing, and played together now for a couple of years, have done a great job.
Webster, top of the arc, shot clock at 4 to the foul line, shooting Brevard far left with 1 to shoot, short off the iron, rebound to Gunter for the Quakers. Rosen, top of the arc, straightaway 3, no, rebound Revar, and he's fouled by Gunter with 103 seconds to go in the second. 75-60, pretty much, Mike, at this point, all formalities at Lavidi's Pavilion tonight.
You got to get, you know, Zach pulling up to try and shoot the 3, get him Jack inside a dozen, couldn't quite get it done.
The Crimson and Princeton Tigers tomorrow night. The Tigers dropping the Dartmouth Big Green in Hanover earlier this evening. Harvard in line for its 22nd victory this evening as Revar drops in his first free throw. 76-60 with a minute 43 to play. And that will set up a showdown for first tomorrow night. Revar buries his second free throw, 77-60, 100 seconds left.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. I mean, Princeton has had Harvard's number the last couple of years, had a 4-point win earlier this season in at Jadwin Gym, but it'll be interesting, certainly.
Cartwright, top of the arc, rattles off a 3, no good. Rebound to Webster, hands off to Curry. And Tommy Amaker motioning McNally across the timeline, center of the court. And Tyler Bernardini bumps McNally from behind. And you can probably hear the cheer from the Harvard Crimson student section.
You know, we haven't heard a whole lot from them tonight. And I think, you know,
You can say that Penn has succeeded in keeping the student body out of it tonight, because Penn was never in it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it really, Harvick never needed the crowd like Penn did about a month ago, that game at the Palestra. I mean, the atmosphere that night, you look at last weekend, the Cornell game, great student support for the Quakers, but the Quakers needed that to get into the game, and, Harvick has led wire to wire, never been threatened in this game, and it really hasn't allowed the student body to get too overexcited or have to get them going.
75 seconds to play. McNally gets both on that trip to the stripe. 79-60 Crimson by a large 19. Quakers bring in a pair of 50-year seniors in Shriver and Smith. Rosenfeld battling for a loose ball along with Harvick football and basketball player. Matt Brown, far right wing, 66 seconds to go. And while the Quakers with their likely loss tonight, no longer feasible that the club could secure a winning record overall for this season, still, and it's going to be a tall order if the Quakers manage to go 2-0 over their last two games, and could finish with a winning mark in the 8-8 as Rosen gets the rattle to roll home off the front rim and through on his first free throw. Brandon Curry and Oliver McNally to the net. And in particular, Brandon Curry, Mike, receives such a well-deserved round of applause.
Absolutely.
From the Wahidis crowd.
He really controlled the offense tonight and really set the tone. I mean, they did a great job of making the extra pass, especially in the first half, making that extra pass, even that extra second pass, third pass, finding the open bodies and finding the open shots. And yeah, I mean, what can you say? They controlled it from the outset. We knew, we talked about before the game what would happen, how would Penn respond if Harvick was able to get out big. You knew that they'd be excited. Well, they got out big, and Penn, unfortunately, wasn't able to respond.
Deep reserves on the floor for the Crimson and also for Penn. Renard, Jock, Curley, Shriver, and Smith for the Quakers. Geiger, along with Van Ness, and Oakham for the Crimson. Oakham misfiring. Renard with the rebound. 43 seconds to go, 32 for Penn. Jock can't hit a three from 26 feet out top of the arc. Oakham with his 10th rebound of the season. 5 second differential between the game and shot clock. Crimson have a victory within their sights. 79-62. Penn knocking the ball out of play. Far left baseline with 28 and 4/10 of a second to go in the second half. Quakers will see a two-game Ivy League road winning streak come to an end. Darren Smith nearly a steal, then drawing a foul on Matt Brown from behind, battling for the ball that was tossed away by Ernest Rouse off the inbound play. 26 and 2/10 of a second ago. 79-62. Harvick about to improve to, Mike, a very telling 16-0 when scoring 70 points or more. D at the line, Darren Smith.
They can, not only are they good offensively, but they can just really lock it down defensively. They got the length and they got the speed to stay in front of their man, cover the ball, recover when they help each other. It's a daunting unit right now, this Harvick team, and they're only going to get better.
Smith, 2 for 2 from the line, scoring it again for the fourth time this season, 15 seconds to go. 79-64, the Crimson running it out from left to right on their home hardwood at Lavini's Pavilion. This will be the 16th consecutive win for Harvick in Cambridge. 2 seconds left. The Harvick Crimson at the horn set a new program record for the second straight season for victories in a single year. The Harvick Crimson behind a dominant 79-64 triumph over the Penn Quakers in a program record 22nd win on the season, improved to 22-5 overall, 11-2 in the Ivy League. The Penn Quakers dropped their second in a row. At best, they can hope for 500 overall this year. They're now 12-14, 6-6, and even 500 in the league play. Princeton and Harvick both winning tonight, 1-2 in the Ivy League standings, respectively. That means a battle for the top perch tomorrow night here in Cambridge between the Tigers and the Crimson.
Tough night for the Quakers. You know, balanced offensive attack for Harvard. Curry doing a good job. You know, the early turnovers and hard, you know, not easy shots. Couldn't find the easy shots. And then Harvard, just they got it open looks, and they made them. And they finished 60% from the field. They went 11 of 23 on three-pointers, 16 of 16 at the line. Again, you can't ask for a much better offensive performance than you got from Harvard tonight if you're Coach Amaker.
79-64, the final score. The Penn Quakers, a wire-to-wire loss. Harvard is just dictating and controlling virtually every step of the way tonight en route to a program record 22nd victory on the season. Harvard now starts and Sterling 22-5 on the year, 11-2 in the Ivy League, matching a program record for Ivy League victories in a single season that was originally set back in the 1970-71 season for Harvard. And Harvard, an opportunity to draw even in the loss column with the Princeton Tigers here in Cambridge tomorrow night. Penn now 12-14 on the season, 6-6, most importantly in the Ivy League, following a 79-64 throttling at the hands of the Harvard Crimson, who have also won a program record 5 in a row versus the Red Moldy Street. Some of this. Stop mentioning them.
None of these are really, a good sports information guy would never give you that type of information. So, and I haven't. You've just taken the time to look it up yourself, so. You're just doing your job, Salty, and I appreciate that. I'm okay with it.
Well, I appreciate you filling in for the Vin Man on television assignment tonight. It's the final broadcast of the season on 950 ESPN AM. We're going to be on 88.5 WXPN in the Philadelphia listening area for the next two outings tomorrow night at Dartmouth. And on Tuesday, back at home versus the Princeton Tigers. But still, a very important order of business to take care of before we get on the air tomorrow from Hanover, New Hampshire, the town that Mike Mahoney built. Red Moon Rewind, Comcast Sportsnet post-game show, beginning on the other side. 79-64, the Penn Quakers fall at Lavides Pavilion in Harvard. 12-14, Penn now in the season, 6-6 in the Ivy League. The Crimson 22-5, 11-2 in the league. From Elegant Sports, you've been listening to Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
There's always a moment of truth where it's either put up or shut up. We were yelling our hearts out. Even in our weakness, even in our pain, we continue to push. I don't know where the pain went to, but all I know is that I had what it took. I am a United States Marine.
DSP Darrell Willis serves his country as a Marine. Will you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES.
I just downloaded an app for my phone. Let's see if this works. Phone, find me a burger and a Coke.
I'm busy right now.
What? I guess I'll call a human.
Like your mom.
Well, listen, if I'm going to have a burger, I have to have a Coke.
Talk to the hand.
No one says that anymore.
I've got a lot of drama going on.
All right, well, why don't we go together?
Four blocks for a burger and a Coke.
Thanks, phone.
Coca-Cola. Open, half of us.
Oh, excusez-moi, I am the window, and I have created the most wonderful dress. It blows money right out of the wallet.
Your windows may be wasting energy. Take the Pico Smart Home e-audit and find ways to save money around your house. Pico, we put our energy into lots of programs to save you money. Learn more at pico.com/smartideas or call 888-5-PICO-SAVE.
United Healthcare takes its commitment to their members in Pennsylvania seriously. That's why they take an active role in the communities they serve and promote good health every step of the way. Preventive care is covered 100% in most plans. They offer wellness programs to help their members make healthy choices, and they send out reminders for immunizations and annual physicals. After all, their mission is to help people live healthier lives. United Healthcare, a proud sponsor of Penn Athletics. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliate. Health plan coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Company.
950 ESPN.
950 ESPN.
WPEN Philadelphia.
15 up where the action left off. It's Red and Blue Rewind, presented by Comcast Sportsnet. Now bringing you a complete recap and reaction from coaches and players and analysis of the final stats. Back to Vince Curran and Brian Seltzer.
The Penn Quakers really on one of the rare occasions over the course of the 2010-2011 season. Penn really never in this game, and you can't say that a lot about a lot of outings this year for the Red and Blue. They've been very competitive regardless whether the team wins or loses in an outing. And tonight, the Harvard Crimson came out a little bit angry, fired up, and they delivered a dismantling performance to the Penn Quakers. A 15-point deficit for the Red and Blue, 79-64, not really telling of the entire story in the 26th game of the season for Penn. The Quakers trailed by 22 at the half and by as many as 26 in the second, en route to a 79-64 loss at Harvard. Harvard has now won 5 in a row against Penn. The Quakers dropped 12-14 overall, 6-6 in the Ivy League. Potentially could slip to 5th place in the standings, depending on what happens with Yale tonight. Get the best score in a moment. The Bulldogs playing at Columbia. The Harvard Crimson, meanwhile, improving to 22-5, 11-2 in the conference standings. Tied, a half a game behind the Princeton Tigers for first in the league, with Princeton coming to Cambridge tomorrow night. Time now to go around the 8-8 on the Comcast Sportsnet out-of-town scoreboard. Brought to you by our pals at Comcast Sportsnet. Nobody does Philly College Hoops better than Comcast Sportsnet. Beginning in Morningside Heights, a second overtime necessary between the Yale Bulldogs coming into the night at 14-12, 7-5, in third place in the Ivy League. The Columbia Lions 14-12 overall as well, but 5-7 in the conference standings. So from a 10 perspective, you are rooting for the Columbia Lions to deal Yale what could be a sixth conference loss and keep the Quakers tied in the loss column with the Bulldogs as 10, vying for third place in the H-8. So that one going to a second overtime at Columbia, tied up at 76. Final from Ithaca, New York, the Brown Bears stumbling at the hands of the Big Red. 75-66 the final score. Cornell upping its mark to 9-18 overall. 5-8 in the Ivy League. Not bad after only 4 non-conference victories. Brown, meanwhile, falling to 11-16, 4-9 in the Ivy League. So Cornell vaulting into 6th place, Brown in 7th, following that 9-point loss on the road at Cornell. Dartmouth continuing to dwell in the cellar of the Ivy League, now 5 in an unsightly 22, 1-12 in the league, in danger of going with only one win in the league for the second consecutive year, falling by 22, 77-55. The Princeton Tigers, the orange and black, a league best 23-5 overall, and the Crimson remain a half a game behind the Tigers, who by virtue of their victory tonight remain in first place in the Ivy League following that 77-55 victory at Dartmouth. So once again, double overtime, Yale at Columbia, tied up at 76. That game still going on. Final from Ithaca, Cornell handles Brown 75-66. And Princeton stomps all over the Dartmouth Big Green 77-55 to remain a half a game in front of the Harvard Crimson for first place in the Ivy League. And right here at Lavini's Pavilion in Cambridge, Massachusetts, the Penn Quakers suffer the worst Ivy League loss of 2011, 79-64, falling by 15 to second place Harvard, and now 12-14, 6-6 in the league, hoping that by the end of the night they will remain in fourth place in the league and still an opportunity for third, depending on what happens these final two games. 79-64, the final score from Cambridge. One more timeout, and then we'll wrap things up on the Red and Blue Rewind Comcast Sportsnet postgame show by handing out our postgame honors and recognition. That next. 79-64 the final from Harvard, from Nelligan Sports, Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
ShopRite is proud to support Penn Basketball. And did you hear about the ShopRite MasterCard? You earn rewards points every time you use your ShopRite Rewards MasterCard. So every time you buy something you need, like eggs, bread, or milk, you're earning points to get something you want, like gift cards from top retailers for food, clothing, electronics, and more. You can even redeem your ShopRite MasterCard rewards for gift cards from ShopRite. That's, well, like getting free food. Visit ShopRite.com for details. And go Quakers! If you come from today's rapidly changing, energetic, collaborative workplace where people expect their work tools to do the best job possible, visit FitHowYouWant.com and explore Generation by Knoll, the award-winning work chair. Generation's advanced design and flexing features give you the freedom to be you and allow you to move effortlessly about your day. Generation by Knoll, for anyone in today's workplace, but especially for those who refuse to sit still, visit FitHowYouWant.com today.
Penn fans, for the most up-to-date information on Penn Athletics, this is a new and improved official website of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Create your Quaker ePass today for a one-stop shop for merchandise, streaming, tickets, auctions, and more. You can watch exclusive videos, subscribe to podcasts, and also get the latest details on your favorite teams with blogs from Penn Athletics coaches and players. Go online today to the brand new PennAthletics.com.
Sprint Turf wishes good luck to the Quaker basketball team and is a proud partner of Penn Athletics. Sprint Turf has been the University of Pennsylvania's choice in synthetic turf since 2004, when the surface was installed on the beautiful and historic Franklin Field. If your school is considering a turf field, or perhaps you have a landscaping project at home, make Sprint Turf your first call at 877-686-TURF. Visit us online at SprintTurf.com.
Put the bow on the Red Bull Rewind Comcast Sportsnet postgame show from Levitis Pavilion on the campus of the Johnnies at Harvard. 79-64, the Penn Quakers now 12-14 on the year. Best they can hope for is a 500 finish. Still possible to attain a winning record in the league, but got to go 2-0 the rest of the way at Dartmouth tomorrow, Tuesday at home versus Princeton. Quakers now 6-6 in the league. Final segment on the postgame show, and Mike Mahoney, our outstanding director of athletics communications, filling in admirably for the Vin Man Vince Kern on television assignment tonight, handling his normal responsibilities and duties with media relations. So he has, because it is the duty of a color analyst on the Penn Sports Network, he has passed along to me his post-game award recognition selection. We will start it with the United Healthcare shot of the game, and for that we turn it over to a Quaker junior ride captain, Zach Rosen, who tonight from the outset was a little bit perplexed by the Crimson's defense, contained for 11 points, 4 for 10 shooting, 1 of 3 from the outside, 5 assists for Zach Rosen, now 15 out of his last 16 games with at least 5 dishes. But this delivery by Zach Rosen, the United Healthcare side of the game from the second half when the Quakers were trying to get back in. Rosen with the run out, slashing in the lane, over the shoulder with the non-dominant right hand for the deuce. 67-49, the Quakers within 20. That's the final game brought to you by United Healthcare. United Healthcare helping people lead healthier lives. Proud partner of Penn Athletics. That brings us to the PICO Play of the Game, presented by PICO Energy. Now more than ever with you every step of the way. The Quakers had Fran Dougherty, a red and blue forward, contribute some decent minutes off the bench. He finished with 4 and 3. Fran Dougherty getting 3 of those points on this development in the second stanza. Shot clock at 13 for Penn. Cartwright near left wing, left hand dribble in the lane. Jockery right, left, foul, and he gets the bucket to drop as he went off the glass for the deuce. Nice physical effort by Fran Dougherty there, and Archbishop Wood, and he got the free throw that ensued to complete the three-point play, three out of his 4 points on that sequence. The Pico Play of the Game brought to you by Pico Energy, now more than ever with you every step of the way. That brings us to, lastly, but certainly not leastly, oh yes, it is time for the Smokey Joe's Player of the Game, brought to you by the one and only Smokey Joe's Cafe. A team high point total of Miles Cartwright with 16, 5 of 12 from the floor, 3 of 7 from the outside, 3 for 3 from the stripe. An assist for Miles Cartwright. He was the Quakers' primary option in the first half, and his scoring was consistent in the second half as well. Miles Cartwright en route to a team high 16 points tonight. The Smokey Joe's Player of the Game with contributions such as this. Shot clock at 10 for Penn. A minute 15 gone by in the second. Cartwright carving through the key. Finger roll finish. No call. Cartwright, he has 10. And within 16. Cartwright would get 6 more after that. The red and blue, that a part of a 6-0 spurt to start the second half. But the Harvard Crimson just too potent on the offensive side and route to a 79-64 victory over the red and blue. Miles Cartwright, the Smokey Joe's Player of the Game, presented by the one and only Smokey Joe's. It is what? Former Daily Pennsylvanian scribe Matt Meltzer, you would know the Penstitution. If you head due west on Walnut Street, bang a left on 40th between Walnut and Locust, that is where you will find, proprietor by the great Paul Ryan, Smokey Joe's. Since 1933, Smokey Joe's a proud partner. Penn Athletics got to wrap this thing up, as most of the team is already on the bus. Next broadcast, the Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network is tomorrow night from Hanover, New Hampshire. Penn Quakers try to hold a 2-game slide against the Dartmouth Big Green. Tip off at 7 o'clock. That means we hit the air on 88.5 XPN in Philly and on PennAthletics.com at 6:50. Tomorrow night, Mike Mahoney and I will have the call. The preceding copyrighted broadcast has been authorized and the rights granted by the University of Pennsylvania's Division of Recreation and Intercollegiate Athletics and Elegant Sports Marketing. It's intended solely for the private, non-commercial use of this particular audience. And we do appreciate your listening and lending us your ears on this Friday, March the 4th. The accounts and descriptions of this broadcast may not be retransmitted in any form without the express written consent of Nelligan Sports Marketing. The executive producer of Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network is Michael Felici. His coordinating producer, Nicole Schwartz. And really for the phenomenal crew at 950 ESPN AM and also the sister station on 97.5, The Fanatic, Jake McCann, Matt Nahigian, Joe DeCamera, Rhonda D. Hibbler, and of course, our studio coordinator. I mean, seriously, people, this is dedication coming from any board op that works, any production, but in our case, Becky Deming, third year in a row, that we really have been privileged and so fortunate to work with the reliable, dedicated, beautiful Becky Deming. Phenomenal, outstanding work by Betsy. Thank you so much for the long hours and the hard work over the past, what is it, 4 or 5 months or so. So for Betsy Deming, our studio coordinator, my partner on site, Mike Mahoney, filling in for the Vin Man, Vince Kern, Brian Stutzer, saying see you later from Levitis Pavilion in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where the Harvard Crimson and the Penn Quakers, their worst Ivy League loss of the season, 79-64 in the final. Have a great rest of your Friday night and a pleasant start to your Saturday from all of us here at the Penn Sports Network.
2010-2011, Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network from Nelligan Sports Marketing has been presented by Chili. Chili, home of Fajita Rita Monday, pepper in some fun. Coca-Cola, Coke Zero, real Coke taste, zero calories. Independence Blue Cross, now more than ever, we're here for you every step of the way. Holiday Inn, look again at Holiday Inn Historic District for your stay in Philadelphia. Kindred Healthcare, Kindred Hospital, dedicated to hope, healing, and recovery. Pico,
we put our energy into you. For extended coverage of the preceding game, including a complete recap, video interviews, and final stats, log on to PennAthletics.com. This is the Penn Sports Network on 950 AM ESPN Philadelphia, a Nelligan Sports production.
That concludes our coverage of Penn Basketball. We now join my show, Tom Byrne, filling in for Dan Schwartzman, already in progress on 950 ESPN and, of course, 97.5 at Fanatic FM.
950 ESPN.
I'm telling you, they're all scumbags. I'm not telling you that. There's some good owners that are good people. I'm sure Robert Kraft's a person, a good person.